All right, guys, we're back here with myself. We have Ricky, Riff, Chris, and Vince Clemente, right?
That's right.
And I wanted to get this thing started off, kind of like to explain to the audience like who you are and kind of what you've done and all that stuff before we get off.
Sure.
What's your little bit of your background, like starting as a kid? Like, how did you get into like Tetris and filming and all that?
Who are you and what you do?
Oh, my God.
Basically, people are like, maybe who is he and why is he here?
Yeah. So you maybe tell we us. Aren't moving to Pasadena.
We need the socials too. So
yeah, grew up in Chicago. Started, you know, at one point I, you know, loved Nintendo. Got a Nintendo for Christmas one year. You know, Mario. We had Mickey Mouse Capades, and that was the two games we got. And then we got Zelda next. That was our third game. So at some point in high school, I decided that I wanted to play every game, right? So I started buying games at Funko Land. You know, I got maybe 400 loose carts that I played in high school, and then just became a collector, right? Became part of the collector scene. I now have a, you know, a full set of NES games,
ooh,
you know, box, manual, all that stuff.
You have the full set.
I do,
full
yeah.
Full set.
Oh, yeah. My.
Stadium events or no stadium?
I have the PAL stadium events.
PAL.
All right. No NWC either.
Which is
no
still NWC. Like $600 or something,
yeah,
right? The PAL
something
version?
Like that. Yeah. So.
Now, like, what's primarily, like, your background before that you got into, like, your Tetris phase with filming and all that?
Right, well, yeah, we might want to tell the audience first,
yeah,
who doesn't know, you run Tetris.
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
nobody's I'm just waiting. Like, is anyone going to say what he does?
It's just a given, right?
Yeah.
We just know. Yeah. So I run the Classic Tetris World Championship.
Yeah.
I've been doing it since 2010. This would be the 15th year. So.
Yeah.
That's nice. Amazing.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, like, kind of what was going to lead up to that was, like,
sure, Curtis.
Back in 2010, when guys were starting it, you were doing the documentary for it, right?
Right. Yeah. So I went to film school and then started making documentaries. So in 2010 or 2009, actually, I met up with, you know, Robin. I knew Robin Mahara, who's third place NWC, and he was trying to make, maybe we're going to maybe make a, like a 20th anniversary version documentary of the NWC, right? So it was 1990 to 2010. And then we got in touch with, you know, Adam Cornelius, who was trying to make a documentary about Tetris. And, you know, we just kind of just collided it all into one project where we're just trying to find the world's best Tetris player, since NWC is just, you know, basically a Tetris game anyway. It's the most important part.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like probably the first Tetris tournament, you would say.
Didn't Thor win that? Or
Thor won that, yeah. Well, he won his age group, right? So mm-hmm. There was three different winners. So he won the group, and then that group was like the most notorious with, you know, like having the highest scores, being the best players at the game. So,
and so doing the documentary, that led into doing the tournament?
Right. So yeah, one of my main roles in the documentary was to direct and produce the first tournament in 2010. And that was to be the climax of the film. So that's what I did. And I never knew I was going to do another one, right? So in 2011 or late 2010, you know, all the players were like, that was so much fun, let's do that again. I was like, we could do it again. Tetris Company was into it. So 2011 became a thing.
That's when you officially realized, like, this is going to become
right.
a thing. Was it something that people in the community immediately were excited for? Or is it something you kind of had to build into people being excited for it?
Oh, you definitely had to build it. I mean, the community back then was maybe, you know, 20 people, you know, 10, 15 players. Right?
Wow.
There's no internet. There's no Twitch. There's no, you know, Justin TV isn't even really a thing.
Yeah.
Right. So it was just Facebook friends and, you know, people that have the same passion for a certain game that can talk to one another about, you know, their lifelong, you know, plight of playing the game, right? You know,
are you any good yourself?
I recently maxed out last year. I have 3 max outs now. So that was, got the 999.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
And how many players were at that first one? And it took place in LA, the first one, right?
And second one took place in LA. So the first one was at the Downtown Independent Theater.
Okay.
And it was just, you know, we invited people from, you know, we were filming people, you know, that were really good, you know, on Twin Galaxies board, you know,
yep.
Which, you know, was, you know, like 600K would get you like 7th place on that leaderboard then, right? So those, we already knew those, invited them. So they came from around the United States, but then it was open call for qualifying, which was, you know, not going to be done originally with the movie. We were just going to, you know, see who's the best of these people. And I was like talking with the Tetris company. We're like, let's get qualifying in so that anyone can come. Right.
Wow.
So then a player like Quaid, you know, fan favorite Quaid, kind of like bad boy of Tetris, right? You know,
like the of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kidding, not at all. Gabbo's probably more the favorite.
So, how many players in the first one total? Would you say?
maybe 20, 30 people. 20, 30 up. People. I mean, there was like, wow. There was, yeah, it's a pretty small tournament.
How many people generally come now and attend the championship?
I mean, we get, 1,000 people probably, I mean, players know, if they're not that great, maybe, I don't have a chance of making the gold bracket, right? But people still come because it's, we're all about the community. It's more about coming.
Yeah.
And hanging out. I mean, even back in the day, everyone knew Jonas was going to win every year, right? So people still wanted to come hang out, like have a goal of like, I want to make top 8, I want to make top 16 or something like that.
What has, I know recently Blue Scooty
right.
has got more attention than you could ever imagine.
Oh my God, yeah.
Not, it wasn't just like, oh, the community of Tetris sees this kid who beat Tetris, right? That's kind of what you would see in the mainstream media. Hey, a kid, someone beat Tetris. What did that kind of do? Did it do anything like give like a rebirth of like excitement? Was there like any emails coming in where like, did it change Blue Scooty's life? I mean, what kind of, I've been curious to go.
Oh yeah. I mean, Blue Scooty, like I just kind of became his like agent of sorts at times where I was just getting email after email from news channel. Like, do you have contact with this person? Can you, so then I, started talking with his mom on the phone cause he's, 13.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you want to talk to them? I was like, do whatever you want to do with this. I mean, do as many or as few or ones that are exciting to you. And, he's like on Good Morning America, Australia and stuff like that.
Wow.
They're filming him. So it's just, it's just, everyone knows. Like we were in Waco, Texas, like 2 weeks ago. There was like 3 different news channels that came out just to follow him in the tournament because he was playing there. And then there was a bunch of other like dads with their little kids that showed up, like 8, 10-year-olds, that showed up and wanted to meet him because they saw the video and take pictures with him or get him to sign something. It was just like really cool to see, like now there's another new generation coming from behind what, was already like Joseph versus Jonas in 2018, where, Joseph was 16, beat the 3-7-time champ, right?
Wow.
That created this whole new era that we're in now where it's like, a lot of 18 to 25 year olds or even younger, like Blue Scooty 13, right? So
did you know him before he beat it? Was he competing?
Blue Scooty had been competing online, so there's a lot of online tournaments throughout the year that people play in, and I actually played him when he was still a max out player, and we were grouped together in this division, and he remembered and he's like, I beat you. And then he looked back and I was like, it was 3-2, so like best out of 5 match, I got 2 games on him. So
and how old was like Jonas? Jonas was the champion for like what, like 8 years in a row?
He won 7 out of the first 8 years, yeah.
And how old was he when he won his first one?
The first one, I want to say he was like 28, 29.
Oh, so he was in his late 20s. Okay. Because I kind of had to wanted to ask the question, like in the world of esports, like at what age do you think now do players like start tailoring off? Almost like an athlete, right? Like when is their career? Like what do you see as like the lifespan?
Well, I've seen, what is it like in, the shooting game? You're old if you're like 22 or something like that, right?
And like FPS stuff?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's always a bunch of wild young kids, I feel like.
Yeah.
And do you think, like, what do you think, like, as we get older, like, I've noticed it when I'm playing games, like, I've tried playing like Call of Duty with my son and I'm like, I just cannot hang with this. Like, like my reaction time.
To be fair, I'm pretty much first all the time in Call of Duty now.
Are
online.
You still good at it?
I don't. So I recently got back into it and I didn't start out that way, but I'm telling you, like 4 matches in, I'm kind of always in the top now. And I'm like, take that, son. Go to my kid. I'm like, you go back to Roblox. Right? So,
I was playing Fortnite with my son. And
that was your first mistake.
Yeah, well, maybe. But I was enjoying it. But I'm like back of the, I'm like holding back. I couldn't do all the building. And these guys are like doing all this. And I just realized after
they're
a while.
Clicking
like,
at unbelievable level. Just like Tetris.
Just Tetris. Yeah. So I just noticed like, I'm in my 40s now. I'm like, I can't hang with this. At some point it went downhill. I don't know when that was.
I think you just don't have the time. You don't have the time to commit to it,
But I feel like even at my age, if I put in the time, I don't think I could do what like a 16-year-old could do. I think there's something with our synapses where they just get a little wider over time.
Speak for yourself.
Ricky, what were you going to say?
I already forgot, sorry.
Speaking of getting old, it was like 2 seconds ago.
I just turned 40.
True, Ricky did just turn 40.
So if you had to give
happy birthday,
happy birthday, Ricky.
Yeah,
if you had to give the peak time, like the peak, do you think it's 18 to 22 maybe is the age?
I mean, right now, for sure. Yeah. I mean, Scooty, he's young, he's in school, right? So he I think he's playing 4 or 5 hours a day, he said, or something like that.
Wow.
I mean, 18 to 22 might be wrong because a lot of our younger players are now in college, so maybe they don't have enough time.
right,
to commit to it. So maybe high school would be the age. That's the, you know.
So
but they're all getting older, slightly older, but yeah, we're seeing the like the 8-10 year olds show up now. Like, oh, maybe it's the future is here, you know.
Like if what was his name again, the champion for forever?
Jonas.
Yeah. If Jonas was to hop on with Blue Scooty now, like could he even hang?
No.
Couldn't even hang.
I mean, he would hang until a kill screen happened and then
right.
You know, because yeah. They can play on kill screen. Jonas, you know, wouldn't be able to unless he learned rolling, which maybe he would have, you know.
And do a lot of those older guys still compete?
Yeah, there's a handful of old guys that still come out, you know, but once you get...
Chris is just really rooting. He just really wants him to say, yes, old people can make it. Chris,
no, Chris, I know we can
make it. You can do it, too.
No, I know. Wait, we look, can.
Vince, read that behind you. What's that say?
SoCal.
So Southern California Gaming Expo.
Okay, so yeah. What made you come to SoCal Gaming Expo? I'm curious what in your brain, how I know you guys kind of talked and everything, but what kind of...
Well, I know Chris and I've worked with him before. Chris runs one of our regionals at the Retro World Expo.
Yep.
And, you know, Tetra's birthday is June 6th. So I was like, I need an event around June 6th. It's the 40th birthday, right? This year for Tetra's. R15th. So it's a big year all around. So 7th, 8th, 9th made perfect sense. I live down here, you know, so...
I think, yeah, and I knew you, of course, through the regional. And then when I moved out here 7 years ago to LA, you were in Long Beach. I think we connected at my store at one point, got together. And then I had gone up to Portland, got to see the Tetris World Championships in person.
Me too.
Up there. And I was just blown away by it. I mean, the whole time I was up there, my son and I, he was probably only like 5 at the time. Wow. Yeah. And we sat and just watched the...
I remember,
the championships the whole time.
It is quite literally... fascinating to watch, even if you're not into Tetris in any way, shape, or form. Because just the speed of what's happening, my brain is like, I do not understand how they can register their movements that quickly. Right. I don't, my brain cannot comprehend that quick.
And that's what I was blown away by watching it. It's like, I've played Tetris before, of course, but watching what they do is just so incredible.
Yeah.
So yeah, it really is for anybody to watch.
Yeah.
How much would you say has changed since the beginning till now, like the different eras?
Oh, man. I mean, it's just every year the players are better and better, right? So just there's like, you know, it was like kind of slowly like going like that. And now it's like, you know, like.
Jeez. I have an interesting question.
I have an interesting answer.
Yeah. I hope so. What do you think of like other style of Tetris games, like Tetris Fear or like Tetris Attack or whatever is like. Is it a laughing thing in the world of Tetris? I don't know. I'm not like deep involved in that world. You know, in certain genres of gaming, they laugh at certain types of games. Like, that doesn't count. But is straight up OG Tetris the Tetris? Or is there even like, are people putting in high regards for other ones as well?
I think it just depends on preference, right? So people like the NES version, right? Because it, you know, the one that piece falls at sticks, you know, each Tetris game, a lot of them have different, you know, randomizers of how you get pieces, or you can hold a piece, or, you know, you could, you know, slam a piece down, right? Or you see 7 pieces, the next 7 coming. So you kind of know what to expect, right? With NES Tetris, it's pretty much random what you get. So you can get things like droughts and things like that.
And I'm guessing that means you're waiting for a long one.
Bar. It doesn't come down. Droughted from any piece, but yeah, usually a long bar. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a personal preference for me and these players, you know, and, you know, some of them play other versions of Tetris, and there's certain versions that, you know, the community likes or holds on to. Or
what about Tengen? Is that anything that...
I mean, I don't know. I think that... You know, it's,
you laughed real quickly when I said it.
I mean, you could play Tengen forever, but now you can play NES Tetris forever. So
Wait, we have to go in the room. Tengen or Tengen?
What do you say? Tengen.
Tengen?
Tengen.
I say Tengen.
Tengen.
I read it as Tengen too. So
wait, we don't know. I don't know. I've heard it every other way.
Yeah,
but when I just got it.
Well, it's like NES or NES. What do you prefer?
It's NES. I'll punch you if you say NES.
I hate NES. SNES and NES. No, come on.
SNES is the word. Wait, I think you say SNES sometimes.
I do say SNES sometimes.
Now, when did you first get like introduced to the game of Tetris, like classic Tetris?
Oh man, yeah, we got it for Christmas 1 year, and we sat around in the basement and played it. You know, it was like take turns as the family. You know,
and did you dig it back then?
Oh, it was like something that everyone would play.
Okay,
you know, like would you know, we get your turn, be like press down.
Yeah,
Nicole, that's my sister. Oh.
You know? Yeah, because sometimes there's like acquired taste within gaming. Yeah. You know, like I remember not liking Metroid very much when I was a kid.
Right.
Still so.
And now. No,
I like so it good. Better now.
But you at least like the music.
The music's great. Yeah, I love dark music. That's like one of my favorite things. So, yeah.
With filming and all that, what type of like different documentaries have you worked on?
So my first documentary was about this eccentric poet in Chicago. He suffered from bipolar disorder. It's a pretty dark subject. He was untreated, and it was just like a 7-year study of him, right? So it was like, so I talked to a lot of psychology festivals with that movie, and then the Tetris movie. And then a couple of years ago, I came out with the Palindromist, which is a movie about, you know, people that read and write palindromes. And there's a palindrome competition where people write brand new palindromes. So
what's a palindrome?
So it's a, when you can, it's like a word or sentence that you can read forwards and backwards, letter by letter.
Like,
so
like Hannah,
crash car or something, car crash,
race,
race car,
race car. Is race car a palindrome? It is.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And Hannah. What else are palindromes?
Dude.
There's
Mom.
Dad. Yeah, yeah. Dad. Some good ones, huh? One of my favorites is Mr. Owl Ate My Metal Worm. That's a good one.
Wow. Wow.
No
Mr.
way.
Owl Ate My Metal Worm?
Yep.
So what was that documentary about? Was it about like creating the longest palindromes?
Well, so Will Shortz is in the movie. You know, the guy that does the New York crossword puzzles. So he runs, you know, the crossword tournament. So we were part of the American crossword tournament. And it was like kind of a side event, but, you know, probably the main event for sure, you know, in my heart anyway. But it was like they would get prompts like use the letter X and Z in a palindrome, or no word long, you know, shorter than 4 letters long in a palindrome. So it'd be sentences.
It was Mr. Owl Ate My Worm, right?
Yep. Metal worm.
Dang it. I sound so stupid. I just sent it to my friends. I'm like, dude, read that backwards. No. What is it? Mr. Owl
Ate
My Metal Worm.
My Metal Worm, yeah.
Okay, got it.
Now, I know we've been talking a lot about Tetris, but like, what is like your favorite game to play?
I mean, I like Tetris. I've always liked Tetris, but I mean, I like Dr. Mario more at times, yes. You know? Like, really had a great time growing up playing with Dr. Mario with friends. Mm-hmm. Tetris is kind of like a solitary activity, you know? Mm-hmm. Until 2010, when we created the World Championship. Yeah.
Now it's the greatest that ever existed.
Dr. Mario is my favorite.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge puzzle guy, but Dr. Mario, I fell in love with it. Whether it's the music or whatever, all through college I played that. To the point where I would go to sleep and have pills like in my dreams. I remember
You might have been taking pills.
I realized things in my dreams. It was crazy.
So, wow.
Yeah. That's like the Tetris effect, but for Dr. Mario.
I bet you they see that too. They probably
That's what
like,
they call it, the Tetris
do
effect.
Do they have it in their like dreams, just, like they see it and you're like playing it in your dreams. I used to play it.
Yeah. I had that with work before where I see editing things in my dreams. Literally. I've seen it 100 times.
Yeah.
Sad. You wake up like, no, I didn't get a break.
I know. Just like working through the night.
Yeah. You can't even see it. Yeah.
By the way, last comment, Dr. Mario music.
Fever or chill, Fever or chill.
Oh my gosh,
Fever,
I love that music.
For sure.
Fever for sure.
Oh, but Tetris music is better. In my opinion.
That's what I thought of when you said Dr. Mario.
Dr. Mario music I like, but it gets annoying after a little while. Tetris music I feel like I'm always vibing with.
It somehow never annoyed me, even though I acknowledge it's super annoying music, but it never did. Yeah, it's just the same thing over and over. Yeah, but I always enjoyed it.
Okay.
You said you were
also
working...
like new rap, though.
I do.
Got him.
You said at one point you were going to work on an NWC documentary. Do you still have plans of doing that?
Probably not. I mean, the Tetris movie fulfills that for me, you know? I mean, I am friends with like Thor and Chris Tang. Chris Tang's he has been an announcer every year for the Tetris World Championship.
Yeah.
So he was in NWC, like 6th place or something like that. I forget.
That's awesome.
But yeah, he comes every year and he's a legend himself. He won the Rock to Rock MTV show, you know, he's a Hawaiian State Mario champion, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Would you ever do like a different kind of Tetris as a tournament? Like, let's say, like, I'd love to see the Game Boy. I don't know why. I think it'd be so funny. You know how the guys go crazy on the controller when they're playing? Well, someone with a Game Boy, like, good God.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they flip it upside down and do like weird stuff on it. I'm like, I love this.
I love when people stream Dr. Mario when it's just a camera watching you play. Because it's really expensive to buy the cord to get it out to the computer and stuff. But we do run other tournaments. So there is a Game Boy like tournament that we run. And it's just usually online. We might have a side tournament this year included.
Very cool.
My buddy just, actually, Russ Lyman. He has like a custom Nintendo car, Like everything's Nintendo, like to the T. And the other day he sent me a picture. He made a Game Boy as his speedometer. It's sitting there on the top.
Oh, I haven't seen
it. And when
yet.
He goes, ring, you see the numbers go. I'm like, oh, that's, and he made it green too. I'm like, that is smart. Oh, that is cool.
Yeah. But you can't really see it all the time, right?
Yeah. Right, in the right light, you know?
All right. We'll go on to our next one. It's going to be ranking NES games,
ooh,
guys.
Okay. NES. Vince is a big Nintendo guy too, we found out. So.
Yeah.
I like this. Curtis right. is going to know probably none of them, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm going to let you guys rank these
there
ones.
There we go.
And Vince, you want to start off with a number?
One between 1 and 10.
12.
8.
8. Let's go.
Oh, and let me be very clear. Ooh. We tried to pick games that aren't as, you know, we talk about video games all the time. I wanted to steer clear of the Contras, the Mega Mans, because it's just like that's always so talked about. Mm-hmm. We want to throw in some kind of weird ones.
I like it. The weird ones are fun.
Silver Surfer, you're up, Vince.
Ranking it as far as what we're talking about.
So S is best, F is worst. You're ranking on a scale from S is the best possible.
Me personally.
Okay, yeah, you personally. Okay. Yeah. And you can talk trash or talk praise. We fight during this segment a lot.
Okay, so Silver Surfer has a place in my heart. My neighbor had the game, and he would always want to play it. And there was some fun, like you have different characters per level. The Silver Surfer level is probably the best level, but there's some of the other, you know, what...
there's like the alligator-looking person.
And some of them are difficult, you know?
It's known for being difficult.
The Silver Surfer one was the most fun, I thought.
Got it.
As a kid, so... I'll give it a C.
C?
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. Chris?
I never really played this one that much. I have played it. I know it's
typically
super...
for good gamers.
Then I would destroy it. I know I would play it. That's why, but it might be too easy for me.
Yes, Chris.
But I didn't play it that much. I remember not being that great as far as like, you'd call it a shmup, I guess, right?
How dare you?
I'd give it a D.
Oh.
D in my book. I'm not a huge fan of it.
Ricky?
Ricky seems to love it.
This is my A. It's so hard, but I love the music. The music just makes this game what it is because it's so good. I'll literally be, when I would do my morning runs, I would literally run around like dodging trash cans and I was like, yeah, this is cool. You know, this game is...
Fallon.
An A.
Yeah, Tim A. Fallon did this music.
Okay.
It's an A for me too.
Wow.
I love Silver Surfer. I think the difficulty is so hard, but it's also... It's something that I wouldn't say necessarily memorize, but you can lock down and enjoy it. I sat down maybe a month ago with my son and I was like, we need to beat like different levels in this game and get past a few. We got past a few and I was like, this is a fun game. But again, the soundtrack by Tim Fallon just drives it.
It's
what makes you want to keep playing. And it's one of those games where you die, you're back in right at the beginning, right? It's not like a big long game over screen. It's just like, here you go, retry. We know we're smoking you. Try again. So that ranks it. Where does that put it? Curse somewhere to be?
It's going
to
be out of B. Yeah.
Okay.
B. All right. All ready, guys, for the next one? Yep. It's going to be Battletoads.
Ooh. Christopher.
I mean, I love this game. This is a hard one, too. I never could beat it.
Sounds about right.
Have you ever beaten it?
I have.
You have?
Not.
Ricky, you beaten it, too? You have not.
I got stuck at the stupid snake level.
Yeah, it's a super tough game, but for the first three levels that I could play of it, it was pretty good.
I think the hover bikes aren't even that hard of a level. I think that's overrated as being a hard level, in my opinion.
There's that one little area that
it's a little bit challenging. Yeah. Did you ever beat this game?
Never.
No. So none of us ever beat it.
Well,
you beat it?
I beat it, but it doesn't count, I guess, because I use the pocket.
Save states.
So you save states. So it doesn't count. Sorry.
All right.
At least you got through the game. You can accurately grade the game, right?
Yeah, but
you got through it.
I mean, I love the characters. I love the enemies.
Pipple and Rash.
Yeah, Zitz, all of that. I would give it, just because it was a little bit too hard as a kid for me, I'd give it a B. It's
okay.
In my book.
I'm with you on a B. Same thing. Infamous pause music, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Vince?
You know, it is hard, you know, but it was one of those games, like, I don't know about you when you were a kid, Chris, but like, or you guys, when you would play games like this, you would just play the first couple levels again and again, and it just didn't matter. You just like, I'm just gonna go beat those guys up again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah,
and then die on whatever the heart. Oh, I made it to the next one now, but all right, let's do it again.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So
that was
good replay value, but now I'd be like, oh man.
So where's it land?
I'm gonna go C.
Okay.
I'm gonna see.
Ricky, did you rank it?
I'm gonna keep it at a B.
Okay.
I do. I like it a lot. It's like if I had to compare it to something, it's like Bucky meets River City Ransom.
That's a high praise. Those are two fantastic games.
That's how I see it.
Okay. I appreciate the sound effects in it. And obviously, I think one of the coolest things about it is like the big hand, the big foot turning into a bell. Yeah. Those kind of like little things I feel like made it feel a little bit more powerful as far as a beat 'em up game. So,
and that level where you just keep whacking the bird, just like whack the bird as long as possible.
Is always doing.
Next one is going to be Metal Gear.
Ooh, I'll go first. I want to love it, but I don't. It's a C for me.
All right.
I love the music. It's fun that he smokes in the beginning, and it made me feel cool as a kid. And
but wait, yeah. Is it smokes or is the person's falling asleep?
I know there's been debate on that. I always considered it smoking. It made me feel cool.
That
guy's smoking. And I'm playing.
The guy says he's sleeping. That's what he says.
Sleeping with a cig.
That's true.
You know.
That's true. Okay, I'll give you that.
Music's great though. Music's fantastic. It wasn't the first Metal Gear game. The first one was on a MS. I forget.
It wasn't the first Metal Gear.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
There's another Metal Gear on some... I'll look it up while you guys talk.
Atari.
Right,
it wasn't Atari.
I am a... Dude, Metal Gear, the franchise and all the games for PlayStation and beyond are some of my favorite games. Mm-hmm. But this one, I just remember playing it as a kid and just not loving it. I don't even think I got past like the first... I don't even know if there was levels, but I didn't get very far into it. Mm-hmm. And then I was watching some gameplay of it and I'm like, dang, maybe I should have played that more. But... I'd give it like a C for me because I didn't like it as a kid. What'd you give it? C?
Ricky, how about you?
What'd you give it, Aaron?
C. I'm looking it up. Sorry.
I'm gonna give it a D. I didn't enjoy it that much. I'm sorry.
How about you, Vince?
I mean, I do not like this game. I do not.
You can draft as much as you want.
I remember going to the store and renting this game probably twice, and I'd only play like the first minute of the game and be like, I don't like this game. Why did I rent it again? You know. So
the cover.
The cover is
so good.
And I don't know. The newer games I like. I don't know how they made a franchise out of this game because I would have not been like, no, we're not.
We're going to get so much hate for this segment, by the way.
I'm going to say E.
So, by the way, it did come out on the MSX, but I think also the cover is ripped from something.
What the heck is MSX?
Yeah.
What is that?
Metal Gear cover. Oh, wait.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. It is not just a copy. It is a stolen image. The poor audio listeners are not going to see this.
Gosh.
I mean, this is a stolen image.
Huh.
It is a stolen image. I think it's Terminator.
Oh, that is. It's John Carter. Wait, the dad.
Dang.
See?
From Terminator?
Yeah.
I think so. So I know. Sorry.
All right. So the next one's going to be Dr. Mario NES. Ooh.
Whoa.
Didn't want to say
it. Whoa.
Face.
Boring F.
F.
I hate it.
F.
I hate
Dang.
It.
Dang.
Don't worry, Vince. I'd rather play Tetris.
Don't worry, Vince. I got your back, man. Well, I will take this straight up to the S level.
You're only doing that because
dude. No.
You're full
no
of it.
No way, man.
I'm
this
going.
Is actually one of my favorite all-time Nintendo games. No, I'm not joking. When I used to play this, probably more than any Nintendo game, I've played Dr. Mario. It is never-ending like fun to me. We've talked about doing a Dr. Mario tournament before. Well, in fact, you've run one, right?
Chris Bidwell.
Yeah.
So I'm also part of the Dr. Mario championship team.
So that maybe someday we'd do maybe to SoCal? We talked about it? Maybe, right?
Nah. I don't know anymore.
Not after that comment.
Only if we buy out Aaron.
So yeah, absolute S for me. I love this game.
So we're out of C right now.
S for me.
Okay. Yes, right. Let's go, man.
Let's go. Yeah. You
know. True gamers, Ricky? Over here.
I mean, I hated this game.
Don't do it.
I'm sorry.
Be nice.
I'll give it a D. I'll be gentle.
Dr. Mario's way better than Metal
Dr.
Gear.
Mario.
Come on.
So that kind of lands it like right here. That's what sucks.
I don't know. I can't play it. But I don't know.
I couldn't get into it.
It's not better than Silver Surfer?
No,
man. I'm changing Silver Surfer, I'm changing my vote to an F.
High C, Curtis.
You don't know how often that happens on this
two
tour.
Two S's and a D and an F.
I'm doing the math right now.
Go ahead, Curdy.
All right, we'll do this one. Adventure Island.
Okay.
Christopher?
I like this game a lot. It was really good. I liked the music. Mm-hmm. It was a great platformer.
Hudson.
Hudson game. Played it a lot. I'd give it an A. I liked it.
Oh,
it was good.
I'll go. I actually will give it an A, too. These are one of those games when, you know, you have a free moment to play, or even if you have an emulation device and I'm like popping on the Nintendo, there's a high likely that I'm turning on Adventure Island. Mm-hmm. I've always loved it. I always loved to being a skater kid that you could ride a skateboard.
Yeah,
the
skateboard
level.
Was awesome.
It was just so.
It was so
I usually
good.
Lost it pretty quick.
Yeah.
On a stupid rock.
Right.
But it was still great. It's an A for me. I love this game. And you're right. The music is fantastic.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Yeah. As soon as you lose that skateboard, it's like, yeah. Oh man, where's the next skateboard coming from?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Master Higgins is his name, I think. What you got, Vince?
For me, love the game. Love the idea of it. I hate the controls and, you know, some of the hit boxes or whatever you call them in the game. I found that kind of annoying at
times. Is a little slippery, too.
Yeah, and it's just
super slippery.
So I'm going to go B just because I do like it. I do like the franchise, but that always it was always like frustrating.
It was slippery. Were his feet like constantly moving? Yeah. Like
I just felt like
it. Yeah. Put some shoes on, bro.
Ricky,
you know?
Shoes. What's that from, Ricky? Get your shoes on.
The basketball game.
That's right. Go ahead, Ricky.
I like this game, but I don't consider it like one of my favorite NES games. It's more of a C for me.
Okay. C Moon. C Moon.
That one brought it down a lot, though, with that C.
What is it at? Curtis is doing
literally
math.
A C plus.
Like, bro, I am going to laugh my
Silver
head off
Surfer?
If Silver Surfer wins.
Oh, my god!
I love Silver Surfer. I have no shame in it.
All right. We'll go on to... Oh, Battletoads. I already did that one.
Great game, man. Wow. Lots of music.
Super Spike B-ball.
Dude. I'm going to hold my comment. Vince, you go first.
Love the game. Love getting the Super Spike. Can never beat it though, because at the end, what do you face, like the world or something like that?
You couldn't beat it.
Is this the one with the world, or is that the other volleyball game?
Well, you can just do a straight playthrough. All there is also, I think, is like a world tournament as well.
The one with power hits,
but you can just straight up play it through. And I think there's like five different levels.
But isn't it like you play like the military people, and then you go world or something, or military's after? Or is that the other?
I never played it in that. I'm a Super Dodgeball. You go against.
Oh, that's
super dodgeball.
The shadow people.
No, it's a volleyball game. I think it's this one.
Okay.
Because this is the only good.
I never do
game.
Like the championship. I just do the straight playthrough where you play all five different people.
Oh, you got to do the other way.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's for
That's easy stuff.
Yeah, easy stuff. You know, kindergarten over here.
Yeah,
you know?
Kindergarten.
I'm gonna go A.
A.
Yeah.
Chris,
I never really played it that much as a kid. I remember it being similar to Super Dodgeball, and I loved Super Dodgeball. It's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. So I almost should probably pass on this one.
Pass it then.
Played on that like story mode or
pass
anything.
It.
I'll pass.
Ricky.
Oh, this is an A for me. It's loads of fun, especially
my
multiplayer.
Man. Yeah.
So good.
A great multiplayer.
This dude actually got me into it. I played it as a kid and I didn't enjoy it as much. Then I played it with
solid
him and his brother.
S for me.
Dude. Ooh.
It's one of my favorite video games of past time.
And you can't beat the world.
Life. Yeah. Well, I never tried the world. I did the five level scramble.
You got
on.
Some homework, man.
The music in it is stupid good.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I'm pulling it out because I feel like it. I texted my editor last night. Here's proof. Literally last night to my group, I said, hey, this is a great track. You should use it on the show. Look.
Fire. Yeah.
It's just so clean.
It was good.
Look at you, little head up. Ready? Oh, I went to the same part. I was hoping to get to the chorus.
Wait, what were the letters again?
S's.
All S's?
No, I'm just kidding.
I
pass.
A. Non-vote.
S.
Oh, man, that's up there.
That's
all right.
Up there.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep it right there.
Can I re-vote?
No.
You got to throw a vote.
Horseradish.
Go ahead, Chris.
Dragon's Lairs.
Okay. I have an interesting story about that. Christopher.
Barely played this as a kid, but not great at all. It was too sluggish for me. It was I
very sluggish.
Yeah, super sluggish, super slow. The arcade was pretty cool. Totally different game.
Totally different game.
Like not even close. I would give this a E, maybe an F. E.
You sound like an EA Sports guy.
It's in the game.
Yeah, way low.
Yeah, not a big fan. I mean, it's not. One of the most hated games out there. Right?
Not many redeeming qualities.
Yeah, not many. Like, great artwork. Yeah.
What's your rating?
I'll just go F, straight F. You know,
I have a hard one with this. Ricky knows why. I have a hard time.
Yeah.
Ricky and I put a lot of time into trying to beat this. Well, we got to the second level, but it took us about 3 hours to get in like midway through the second level.
So you're like the best in the world.
Pretty much. But it's interesting. It's the same thing that happened to us with Action 52 and Cheetah Men.
It is. And we enjoyed it though.
We played it so much because it was such a bad game that we genuinely found ourselves like cracking up the entire night, just dying on the dumbest things. Because of the enjoyment it brought me, I'll put it like a C. But as far as the actual game, yes, it's dog water, but yeah.
Good memory. Good memory.
The memory made me have fun. Yeah. Ricky?
That's literally what I was going to say. I was going to put it at C just because of that. Literally cracks me. Just playing it with someone to watch them just die, and then you're like, ooh,
at the same bullcrap over and over and over.
You never know what's going to happen in this game. You're literally just walking, and like a hand grabs you, and you're like, dead. I'm like,
yeah, the alligator hand or whatever, the dragon hand in the beginning.
Oh my gosh,
so bad. All right, Kurt, what's that put it?
That just above Metal Gear. All right, I'm gonna find the next one. It's gonna be
we're gonna get little? Reamed for this, by the way.
That's all
right, but it's nice. I'll add a little bit of gameplay in front of while you guys are talking.
So ooh, Curtis, thanks for the work.
All right. Hey, all right, so Little Samson.
Ooh, Ricky, go ahead.
Oh, dude. This game is actually really fun. I love this game. I'm going to give it an A because it's so good. I was going to make it my S, but I think I'm saving my S. So A for this one.
Saving my ass.
wait, we only get one of each letter?
No.
But as they say, if you give five S's, the S's aren't as important as they once were. You know? Yeah. Man, I really want to go S as well, but I might go A because I haven't gotten as far in it as I would like. But I'm gonna go A. It's beautifully designed. The characters all have their unique purposes. It's so fun. We talk about music a lot, but this is another game where I pull soundtracks from all the time for editing stuff. So it's so good.
Yeah, this is an S for me.
Yeah,
I love it. I've played this a ton. Own a couple cartridges of it.
You do. Me and Ricky are going to show up. Yeah. We're going to get one from you eventually.
Too. Yeah,
yeah. But Ricky and I don't. I know we're collecting one. The set now. Yeah. So
I think I have two. So
thanks.
Maybe.
How much?
I don't know.
Is it CIB?
One is not.
We could take your
list. No, they both have boxes.
They both have boxes. One is a cut box. Yeah. But the gameplay on this is amazing. It was a late, I think it was it the last
NES
game?
One of the last. Not the last. But it's a later, very much a later release.
1994, I want to say. Okay. Am I right?
I think Wario Woods is the last.
Or 93, yeah.
Was it Wario Woods?
I think Wario Woods was the last.
Wario Woods was last.
I thought it was Paperboy 2.
You could be right. It was like between those three.
I feel like every time I look, someone says something different.
Was it Panic Restaurant?
Yeah.
Mario.
How about you, Vince?
But I didn't care.
Oh my God.
But they, I do feel like by the end, they had kind of like pushed the NES to the max. And I feel like this was kind of like to the level. Was it 1994?
So we know, it's one article says Wario Woods was the last, and another says Lion King. So
that's European only.
Yeah, that's PAL.
That's what the internet says. Oh, okay. Yeah. So technically,
Little Roy the Lion or
94 was Wario Woods.
So, how about you, Vince?
All right, I get this.
You know, to back what Chris says, late release, you know, they figured it out. You know, it's really fun. You know, all the different characters do different things. A lot of fun, you know, replayability. You
92.
Know. And, you know, as a collector, it's really nice to have, you know, expensive game that is playable.
Mm-hmm. That's always so nice within the NES world when the expensive games are good games.
Because,
like Panic Restaurant's fantastic. But there's Snow Bros, Fire and Ice.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you got your Action 52s, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like, why? Or Myriad's one of six.
I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I had two S's, two A's. All right. That's pretty on par with Super Strike or Super Spike.
Do you think that the value of this game is because it's a good game, too? Do you think it's to it?
I think some of it.
I think it has.
Also, it helps with Panic. The Game Chasers found it in an early episode when it was super hot to do NES, and it just kind of sparked interest. All that stuff kind of plays, and not blaming it on them, obviously, it just plays into it.
But I mean, people don't play them anyway. That, you know, you might play a ROM or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Bad dudes on the NES.
I'm bad! Every level when you beat it. First boss level is Karnov, by the way, on this game.
Yeah, that's right.
Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja is the arcade game name. This is one of my most, I say that a lot of them, but I don't know how to say it, but me and my brothers just play the heck
same
out of Bad Dudes. I mean the heck out of Bad Dudes. I'm gonna go A. I have so many good memories with it. Is the gameplay for most people as good as they expect? Probably not, but it's a fantastic memory for me.
The arcade was phenomenal.
Yep.
The arcade version of this was so good. Unfortunately, the port is just not as good.
Yep.
But I was the same. My brother and I used to play the heck out of this game. It was so good. But I always wanted it to be as good as the arcade. And I'd get home and I'm like, oh, it's just not as good. I'd give it an A with you for that reason. I wish I could give it an S.
Same.
It was frustrating.
I just prefer playing other, you know, beat 'em up games like that than Bad Dudes. I wouldn't reach for Bad Dudes over like a Double Dragon, you know. So I'm going to go C.
Okay.
Yeah.
Riquito?
I'm going to go B for Bad Dudes.
B for Bad Dudes.
You could have gone D for Dudes. Yeah,
that's true. I think that just lands at a solid B for sure.
Okay.
All right. So we got two more to rank on here. It's going to be RC Pro-Am.
Solid A. I love RC Prom. Dare I say it might even be to this day one of my favorite racing games I've ever played. And I am very good at it, I'll be honest. It's one of those games I'm very good at. But I love it. Early day Mario Kart, shooting and collecting and all that.
You go, Vince.
All right. I like RC Pro-Am, you know, the top down map, right? Yeah. Or almost top down.
Isometric.
Whatever's going on. I'm going to go, it's fun to play, right? You know, all the time, you know. I'm going to go B, just solid B.
Okay, I like it. I'm not opposed to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Christopher?
I would almost give this an S. Mm. It is one of my favorite racing games too. I love this game so much. But I'm going to give it an A. Maybe because Cobra Triangle is a little bit better.
I like Cobra Triangle's great.
Awesome. Yeah, A for me.
And Micro Machines really better than RC Pro.
Micro Machines is good too. That's right.
It's good. Way better than RC Pro.
Right. Go ahead, Ricky.
Sorry.
S for me.
Let's go.
I love this game. I love this game. It's so good.
That lands it pretty good.
I love customizing the cars, dude. I love it.
All right. Last but not least, Felix the Cat.
Oh.
All right.
I'll go because I just beat this. I love Felix the Cat. It's so easy. It is one of the easiest NES games you ever play. Plowed through it without.
Oh, nice!
It's like it's basically a kid's game.
Mm-hmm. But I put the Japanese cover art on you.
I noticed that. But the sprites are beautiful and the music's fun. It is a fun game with lots of different power ups that you keep in your Felix purse. It's an A for me.
Anybody else?
I never played it as a kid. I played it a little bit later. It is a really good game.
Yeah.
I'd give it a B. B for me.
Okay. Vincente Clemente?
Vincente Clemente, yeah. I'm going to go. I do like the graphics of the game. I never really put a lot of time into it either. So I'll just go B.
Yeah.
Just keep it safe.
Ricky?
A for me. It's a great game. It's a really fun game. If you haven't tried it, you have to play this.
It's pretty pricey, pretty good. Too, right?
Yeah. It's up there.
Yeah, it's up there. It's not like crazy.
100.
Yeah.
150.
So sad that's like, it's not that bad. It's like 100 something now on NES. Yeah.
Now that we're adults, it's not that bad.
Very often at all. All
right, so we always end this on like, what's the top and what's the bottom? The one on the bottom was Metal Gear on NES.
We are going to get reamed for that. We are going to get reamed.
Metal Gear was the lowest. Dragon's Lair just edged it by, I think it was like 0.03 when I was doing the math. And then Little Samson and Super Spike were the ones on top.
I'm okay with that. Those are great games. Those are great games. I love that.
All right. We're going to go on to the next one. It's going to be, what does it take to really organize large gaming events? Now, since announcing like you're going to the SoCal Expo, one of the questions that I was like, what does it really take to like do the scheduling and to get those competitions to those events?
Right. So it's just, we have a lot of stuff, right? And working with Chris, you know, it's just a whole new team to work with. You know, we were in Portland for 10 years, so it was like, you know, working with the same production crew every year. So after a couple of years, you know, everyone kind of knows the drill, so you don't, there's not a lot of things. So it's, you know, bringing on a whole new bunch of work that way, right? Okay, how many CRTs do we need to bring? You know, there's a bunch up there that, you know,
how many do you typically need, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I think last year we've had like 50 to 60 ish CRTs. Wow. Yeah, so
wow.
Okay. So it's just, all right, you know, bringing some down from there that we have, you know, I have some here, you know, and, you know, Steve DeLuca, who is down here, he's got a bunch too. So we've run tournaments, you know, like we do the ones in, you know, Phoenix or the ones here, you know, we drive to those and or Vegas or stuff like that. So there's some here. Yeah. You know, Chris says he has some. So things like that, systems and stuff like that, is like bringing all that stuff down, right? And then it's like coordinating, all right, like, you know, cameraman, stuff like that. Like everyone in Portland when we were there would be, you know, from everywhere else too, but there's a lot of Portland locals that would help out, right? So run front desk or, you know, head camera guy, stuff like that. Or, you know, we borrow this or this thing from them. So it's all these new things to figure out to, all right, where are we going to get these things from?
Yep.
So,
yeah, organizing any event is so much more work than like you see from an outside perspective because you just show up, right?
Right.
It's so easy because I admit, guilty as charged, I'll walk into an expo and be like, oh, they should have done this. And it's like the should have done this. There's so many factors, so many phone calls, so many meetings, so many things that have to take place in order just to make that air quote simple change that someone else might have thought that was a better idea. Or why don't you just do this? There's so much involved as we're learning. At the time of filming, this is like go week for us, like big decision week.
Yeah.
And it's like we're talking like every decision is like, all right, $10,000 decision. Like every decision that's made. Mm. different owners to talk to, partners, differing opinions, you know, things like that. And it's just like, man, now I have like more respect than ever for people who run any sort of a Tetris, a game expo. What were you going to say, Chris?
I was going to say like what you're referring to is like a lot of that is like the fine details of the show. And what I've learned over running like Retro World for 9 years and like being in one space for so long, like we have gotten it down to like per foot. Like I'll walk into the day of the show and I'll be like, oh, that's a big empty gap. Why did, on the floor plan that looked right, but now it doesn't look right. And so we've narrowed it down. So when going to a new venue like to Pasadena, we've never been there before, right? So
as far as running
a show, we've been there, right? Mm-hmm. And like Vince hasn't been there before. So like there's gonna, and Vince and I have already talked about this, and I'm like, Vince, we both know like there's gonna be a lot of things that probably go wrong year one. We're gonna be like, that didn't work, this didn't work, you know?
Yep.
And years of doing it, you'll get it dialed in. So there is a lot of just little things that you just don't know because you're looking at paper. Paper to 3D does not always translate.
Yeah, you guys actually go all the way down to the bare bones of like doing an AutoCAD file of like your square footage of the
Everything's an AutoCAD. Mm-hmm. To the foot. Yeah.
To exactly. the foot. To the root foot. By the foot to that. It is every little edge looked at. I mean, today Lance and I were just like even like talking to, you know, different voice actors and stuff like have to talk to each. Are you okay with sharing a table? Are you the whole cast of Resident Evil wants to come now. So okay, so would three of them want to be at a table? There's not really another room. Is that there's just, but it's not like you just make that decision. It's like got to call this person, find out. Oh, but that one person was okay with it, but this person wasn't okay. So now we see if we can put another table over there. We got it approved through the group. Let me call Ricky and see if there's room. It's just like it's not as simple as being like, let me just move this because I feel like that's what should go there.
Or like everybody just show up, it'll just happen.
Oh right? No, this week I have learned very much. It's not just show up. I'm like, all right, meeting's over. Woo! Oh, I got another meeting.
It's a lot, meetings.
This guy wants to meet with me tomorrow. Oh, okay. So it's like, okay, yeah.
Now, like, how do you determine who's going to be competing? Like in these large events, like how do you leading up to it, the championship?
Right.
Tetris.
Like qualifying for the event and stuff like that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have regional events around the United States, around the world, stuff like that. So the winner of those events, you know, they get prize money typically, and then they're supposed to use that money to fly to the main event and compete. There's no like auto in, you're in the bracket. So Friday, you know, before the day before your guys' expo opens, we're going to be open in our area for qualifying. And that'll be just everyone comes and, puts up, you know, they play each. We've done this new system where everyone plays for 2 hours, right? You get 2 hours, it's fair. Everyone, get in your groove, you know, and we play, you know, the stock cartridge, right? So it's just max outs, number of max outs that you get in an hour. If say you don't get a max out, it's just your highest score. So then it just seeds it based on that.
Dang.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah. Another thing that I had, like, like how have the rules changed for classic Tetris as you've been a part of it for so long?
Well, I mean, the players just keep getting better, so it takes more time for the games to happen, right? Mm-hmm. So the qualifying rule used to be just wait in line, right? And then you get your, or you can rent a station for an hour, do that. So it was just, okay, what do we do? Because people are just going to be there all day, you know? And I think it was 2019, the year you came. Mm-hmm. The line was like 45 minutes long from when you finished a game to then wait to play another one. So that just became absurd. And, you know, more about like the players and giving them time to enjoy the show that you guys are putting on, right? So they play for their 2 hours and then they can do whatever, or we have some side events that are happening. So, and then it's just everyone gets the same amount. It's just becomes more of, you know, total fairness, right?
So much involved. Chris, what would you say, or Ricky, or whoever, anybody here? You can't say any of your own. We can't say SoCal. You can't say Retro World. We're going to make people upset.
Oh, God.
What do you think the best convention is you've ever been to?
Oh.
In my opinion?
Yep. And you can't say your own.
I do have a favorite. It is MAGFest is my favorite in the country. That show stands out different than any other show I've ever been to. They've kind of like the only show that has, you know, MAGFest is music and gaming, and they've been running that show for I don't know how many years, but I don't think there's any other show in the country that mimics what they do. We've tried to even include music at our shows. It's like kind of fits in, but what they've done with like a 4-day event, and you're literally partying like 24 hours a day there. I've been up at like 5 a.m. like,
this is like EDC for games.
Playing, like, that's me and Ricky's favorite type of a convention.
Yeah, it's just
listen to Felix the Cat soundtrack.
Have you been to been to MAGFest?
I have not been to MAGFest.
Nobody else has been to it?
No.
Oh,
no.
It's my favorite show. Yeah, that's mine.
Okay, Ricky, what's yours? I'm curious.
Ooh. So
we've been to a lot.
We've been to a lot.
A lot.
So I'm going to say Siege.
Southeast Game Exchange.
South Carolina. Exchange. Because of what we do. We love collectibles. We love all that kind of stuff. It's amazing the stuff that comes into that expo. We were just, my mind was like blown. I was like, look at all this cool stuff. I loved it.
I would definitely say it's probably the expo that I've seen the most unique and rare items. I don't know if because they're in just middle of, you know, South Carolina and people just have weird stuff lying around. I don't know what it is, but the inventory there is pretty ridiculous.
It's crazy.
I would have to say too that my favorite is Southeast Game Exchange. My favorite game expo I've been to. Again, that's no shame on anybody else's.
Yeah.
Obviously SoCal's going to be better and put them all to shame and they'll be embarrassed and probably never run a convention after us. But
how much did they pay you?
$20. Actually, last night they booked my flight.
And he asked the question. Yeah, weird.
Austin, you heard that, right? Somebody clip that and send it. It's SEGE@twitter.com. No, but I just, the inventory there for what we do, again, being collector guys, it's not necessarily about the music. It's not, it's just about rare video games. So that's mine. Vince?
I have two. So I'm a big fan of, you know, Portland Retro Gaming Expo,
which is great.
But, you know, most of the time I can't really enjoy the show because I'm running the Tetris Championship. So I like going to the regional events, you know, to experience, you know, it's, there's smaller events, you know, where I can then enjoy the show on my own. So I like Midwest Gaming Classic, you know.
Oh, they heard really good
things about
that.
They put on a great show there. They have a great, you know, homebrew room, and I like hanging out with those guys. They're all my old collecting buddies that, you know, so they just give a room and then they just show off all their new games. I find that really cool. And they just do, like, they had, you know, the NBA Jam guy, Tim Kitzer, Tim, yeah, out there. And he, like, they had a Papa Shot World Championship, and he commentated it. And I was like, this is really unique.
I would love to hear him commentate something.
And then he let me run. He was like, oh, what are you going to do at my event? Last year we ran the Hattress World Championship, which I did.
Oh, let's go. Hattress is great, actually, by the way.
I did it as a joke on our Classic Tetris Twitch channel in 2000, whatever it was, when April 1st, like 3 years ago. April 1st was a Saturday. So I was like, I announced it like we were doing it. And then I was like, let's actually do it. You know, me and Chris Bidwell. So then we weren't going to ever do it again. Oh. And then I told Dan Lucent about it. And
he was like,
let's do it here. And I was like, so the number one rule for competing is you have to wear a hat.
That's awesome. You should make him wear a top hat, though.
So my mom, I'm from Chicago. My mom comes up and she has a box of hats. So I was like, Mom, can we use the hats? You know, so it's just like all these, like a lobster hat, whatever.
Ready for this? Hattress? Better than Dr. Mario.
No,
it's not.
But then again, what is it?
same creator as Tetris, you know.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Alexei made that game, yeah.
Oh.
I'll tell you this.
He's in the game. He's the little guy, and his little buddy is his friend. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. What do you say?
Game On, I love
the manual.
They have one of the coolest arcades. That's why I love
Game On. Great too,
I love the arcade at Game On. He always surprised me with like something I'd never seen. Like, yo, how'd you get this arcade?
John does put together a good show.
Yeah. Really good show.
John's the best.
Really, really well ran show.
Yes.
Never have hiccups or problems. Mm-hmm. John's on the ball. You can find him if you need him. Oh, it's hard to miss him.
Yeah,
he's just got to be just 6'2".
Yeah, I'd put that
bald,
yeah,
beautiful. He's like the Rock's dad. That's what he looks like.
The Rock's dad.
His hands are the size of a gorilla.
Huge hands.
That was a joke on our old show. To this day,
huge.
We go look at his big ass hands.
With Tetris, why did you guys go with the classic NES Tetris? I know there's so many variations and models and different systems. It's for why is it just the classic?
I mean, just the mechanics of the game are really clean. You know, it's one of the top selling games of all time. You know, that version, it was packed in, right? Or with the Game Boy was packed in. So it was, you know, I think the Tetris is the highest selling game in history of all franchises,
like
450 million or something like that. Crazy. So, I mean, that one was the first popularized version of Tetris. So
would you say that Tetris is the greatest game of all time?
I mean, it's perfect.
What is your favorite game of all time? I'd be very curious.
Favorite game of all time. Tetris is really good. Dr. Mario is really good.
Yes. What is this?
Let's go, Dr. Mario.
This is what me and Chris are buddies. Yeah. Oh,
God. What are you saying? We're not friends?
I played a lot of Skyrim. I like that game.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Great game.
I always like knowing what people's favorite games are for each console. It helps me, like, understand. who they are.
NBA 2K11.
Wow. Okay. No. Wasn't expecting that. Yeah.
I have a question just in regards to licensing while we're on the topic. Like, you work with the company that owns Tetris, right? And
yeah,
I think you told me
they've been sponsored every year. Yeah.
They're based out of Hawaii, yeah. You said. Do they also own all the Tetris, like Tetris Attack, anything Tetris? Do they?
Yeah. So they licensed the rights to make the game. That's what I understand, to various companies.
Do you remember?
Like Enhance made, you know, Tetris Effect Connected, and they're, you know, a Japanese company.
I was sponsored by Tetris very briefly for like a store, like a sushi place they opened up that had like a Tetris themed month. Okay. It was like in Irvine. And they reached out to me and they're like, hey, will you go there? We'll pay for your meal and you'll be like some VIP Tetris. And I was in my head, I'm like, I don't really play that much, but okay.
Was that the one that like it would like come to your table?
Yes. That's
pretty cool. Yeah.
A robot would come to your table. You had no server.
It was. I wonder if it was the same company that Vince works with. Probably.
Don't know. Hey, was it like Flame and Yon, like stacking
together? It was
called
like Kura, like, or something, like K-U-R-A. And I had to take like a picture of me with like all their Tetris swag on, eating sushi and the robots behind me. And it was great. I felt like I was.
Did it have like the little Tetris license thing?
Yeah, I have the Tetris like licensing and stuff. So,
have you ever had to deal with Nintendo at all with any of what you do with the tournament?
No, not really. No.
No. So they don't have any ownership over Tetris, even though it was an NES game. The name Tetris.
Well, the Tetris company owns the rights to the games.
Yeah. What's the Tetris company?
That's the name
called. Oh, it's literally called the Tetris company. Wow.
Yeah.
Not the craziest name, but yes.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, right?
True. You can't get it wrong, you know?
Are you the only one that's really taking head on of directing and all that stuff for that event?
So I have a team, right? Used to be, we switched from an old team, you know, I had two other partners and they're no longer with CTWC. So I took it over last year and now I have, four guys that are, you know, part of my main crew and then, you know, a whole slew of other people, you know, around here, around the world. So
are they in California as well? Some of them?
No. So it's just, you know, we're all internet based. I get, you know, my main guy, Pompey Hart, you know, Kingsman, who helps you out a lot.
Kingsman.
And Bidwell.
Awesome.
And then Sharky, you know.
Why do we not have cool names?
Yeah. No, I was like, Kingsman, like, I was like,
Pompeywell, Sharkhead. Kingpin or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you guys gotta work on it.
Curtis name. Ben. Boring names. Like, I'm giving you guys all a name. Curtis, your cheeks. Ricky, your brown name. Curtis, your German.
Welcome to the Discord era, right? Yeah. Avatar land.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Your horseradish.
Can you kind of go into like the different eras? Like, what is hyper tapping era? What is that?
Okay, so it started with DAS, which is how we probably all in here hold the controller. We just hold it down, right? Hold left, hold right, you know?
Yes.
And then you don't tap left or right, right?
You know?
Which is DAS with delayed auto shift, which is like if you hold, like you press the key on a keyboard down, it'd be like, you know, T, 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 and then a million T's, right? So that's how Tetris works. So it's like when you hold left, it's like left, left, boom, boom, and then boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Wow.
So then you have to charge DAS. So if you can keep it from piece to piece, as long as you charge it, but like say you're moving a piece and then you switch directions, then you lost DAS and you have to start over with the dit. And then once you hold it and maintain the DAS, you can, you know, whip it around faster, right? With DAS, that's how we would play. So, but with hyper tapping, it's like you press the button, the D-pad left or right. It's like every time you press it, like every time you press the keyboard key, it goes left or right, right? Mm. So you don't have to worry about DAS. DAS is no longer a problem. You know, you're not going to lose it. You always have the ability. You just have to remember how many times to tap it, right? Mm. So now with rolling, it's just like kind of, you know, a hybrid version of DAS.
And that's their fingers underneath, if I'm correct, underneath like this?
Yeah. They're holding it like, or with like their foot.
That's rolling?
Rolling is like, yeah, they hold it with one hand on top where they're kind of slightly putting their pressure on the D-pad.
And that's what like Blue Scooty and them are all using now.
This is, if you're not using that, you can't play on the kill screen. Yeah, you're not a top tier player right now. But I mean, you're still a top tier player, but you know, they can play further than you and outscore you.
Do they separate rankings by like if people are like, no, I just play the old school way, DAS, whatever what is it called?
Yeah, DAS.
Like, is there like a leader that only the DAS like, people? Yeah. Okay.
So with DAS, you know, there's like the 1.3, 1.4 million is probably, you know, the highest you can get. I think 1.5 if you played a perfect game you can get, but that's, you know, like getting long bars all at the same time and just not ever taking a single, you know. So yeah. 1.4, I think 1.3, there's like, you know, a handful of people that have 1.3s, you know, so 1.4 is like something to a goal for those to do. Like right now we're trying to get 10 million points is the goal right now. Right. So there's a new show that we started last week on our channel called Race to 10 million. And it's, you know, if you have a 5 million PB or above, which was, you know, 6 years ago, 5 years or 4 years ago, wasn't even a thing. It was like, you know, 2 million is crazy. You know, so There's just, yeah, it's just nuts now.
And what is the high score currently?
Well, so, you know, Blue Scootie crashed the game, and then two other guys crashed the game, Andy and Fractal. So there's three game crashers right now. So they're not playing for points in those games. They're playing for lines and to play forever to get to this crash, right? So after that, Andy crashed the game, you know, like, you know, a week or two after
Scootie
did. And then he, you know, ended up getting 8.9 million. So in Scootie's game, he got 6.9, I think it was.
Wow.
So that was the world record at the time, which just edged over 6.7.
Was Andy the guy who was like competing with him? Like they were both like at the same time, like kind of online trying to put the numbers down. And then one of them ended up watching Blue Scootie. Was that Andy? What's his name?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And there's Andy and there's Fractal, and you know,
because I just remember I watched one on YouTube and it was like one of the guys who was competing to do the kill screen also.
Yeah, that was Fractal, I think.
Okay, Fractal. And then he literally stopped and just went and watched Blue Scooties because someone in his chat was like, hey, he's about to be
gonna do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So all these top players were going for the game crash at the same time. So it's not like it just came out of nowhere. That was the goal that was set by them to attack.
Dang, right? And he hit it first.
And he got there first. And that's what, so Fractal was a little mad, I think. You know,
dude, but I feel like Rocky at the end of the series, like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. I would have been screaming and kicking things.
And so didn't you say, I think you told me that you had to like redo something with the game because otherwise you would just get to the crash. Didn't you do something with like how you handle the scoring? So that you can go on for forever kind of thing?
And there's people that have, you know, created it so the game doesn't crash.
Okay.
So that's possible. But, you know, the regular game you play does crash there, but you can avoid the crash. You know, so it only crashes if you do certain things.
You're forcing it to crash.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not forcing it, but like get and that's a single what they were, at this level or whatever.
And that's what they were doing, right? They were
They knew exactly what they had to do. Or the first instance, right? And then they maybe know some other instances where it might crash.
Got it.
So now they might try to avoid the crash, right?
Wow.
So,
now, last question on... Oh, sorry, Chris, you want to go for it?
No. That answered my question.
Yeah, last question. Mm-hmm. Is there like a specific software that goes into a specific cart for you to do competitions?
Software, I mean, we do this thing where it does like OCR, right? It's a software that then re-renders the SD quality Nintendo into HD and then outputs, you know, other information like, you know, a 7-digit score, which is not in the game. So it's like, you know, the game goes like hexadecimal where, you know, A is 10 at some point, you know, if you use a Game Genie code, right? So this would, you know, it'll take that information and, you know, make it into the, you know, the 10 digits or the whatever the 7-digit score, right? So maybe we'll need an eight-digit score.
Dude,
soon.
He is smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, it shows like the differentials too, like which player is up and side by side. Because if you remember original Tetris, it was just one player,
right?
It wasn't even two player on.
So yeah, and it shows like the Tetris rate too, which is calculated by the computer. And
does
like,
it if also a drought, tell you, what does a drought mean?
So drought is like if you don't get a piece for any extended period of time, right? You know, so in NES, you know, it could be forever. So you cannot get a long bar forever. So maybe like an 80 piece drought, maybe it's possible, you know, something like that. Maybe you won't get one.
80 turns without it one?
80 pieces, yeah. So I mean,
wow.
50, 60 is like usually like the pretty crazy ones that kind of come out. But yeah, so, but in modern Tetris, they have like 7-bag, which they call, or, you know, some kind of bag. So imagine all 7 pieces in a bag. You pull one out. That's your piece, and then you get through all of them. Then you have a whole new bag of 7.
Got
so
it.
Then the biggest drought would be 13 pieces.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
So if you got one at the end. And
wow, dude. How interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when we met years ago, I believe you had given me the laptop, right?
Yeah.
And that's, I remember flew with it. Yeah. I flew with it. So I felt like I was carrying like this piece of equipment because to run the regional, I know. I was like, and so I flew with it to Retro World and then gave it to the guys and then they hooked it all up and then flew back with
wow.
it. Yeah. To have that
trusted
software.
Chris with that, huh?
Stole it all, downloaded it. Like, I got it.
Smart man.
All right, guys. Well, Tetris World Championships will be from 7th through the 9th of June of 2024 at SoCal Gaming Expo Pasadena. And I'm going to tell you right now, all those tickets will be available in the link below. So appreciate you all.
And just for future like registration and stuff, like on through your site, I think eventually we were going to link through SoCal to can register.
Yeah.
Or and it is it open registration?
We'll do online registration beforehand. Sweet. And then you're doing yours as well. But yeah, for like that Friday and stuff like that.
And as far as like the qualifying on Friday, open to the public, like anybody can hop in, or do you have to have some pre-qualifications to kind of like scores and stuff to get in?
open to the public. Yeah, I mean, that's open the whole public. Idea.
You have a chance, like, Chris.
You have a chance.
Let's go. I mean, you gotta pay Dr. Your Mario, fee. Maybe. Dr. Mario. I'll start practicing now if we do Dr. Mario.
Well, all those links will be in the description when this video comes out, guys. Appreciate you all. All right. And we're going to go on to agree or disagree.
All right.
Here you go, sir.
All right.
You are official now. Officially in trouble, bro.
Do you want to explain how this goes?
Yep. If you agree, thumbs up. If you disagree, thumbs down. But we'll let the audience know, too, as well, because audio listeners.
I like Metal Gear 1.
Oh, Dr. Mario's a good game.
Right, we'll go on to our first one. It's going to be Sega was ahead of its time. Agree or disagree?
Sega was ahead of its time.
Are we talking about Sega Genesis?
Or just Sega, bro. Yeah.
The company.
Okay, thumbs up from me, Vince, and Chris.
We all agree on it.
I'm gonna even throw it to arcades or something about playing. Like for me, I'll just go to arcades. Like I always feel like I knew when I was playing a Sega arcade game. I feel like it had such a different feel to it. And then obviously the big one is Dreamcast. I feel like that's the most obvious thing to look at. Like I feel like the world just wasn't ready for what it was, and it caused it to kind of just flop out.
I still think Dreamcast was better than PS2.
I firmly agree with you on
that.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah.
I firmly agree with you.
The only thing PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 1 had against it was the, you know, the cutscenes like Final Fantasy. That's the only reason why maybe I would put PlayStation 2 like up there with it. Like,
man, he said Virtua Tennis though, bro. That's
oh, dude.
Yeah. So I would. Sega definitely was ahead of its time because I mean they even had 16-bit way before Super Nintendo. Yeah. They were always pushing the boundaries with Sega Saturn and Sega CD.
Sega Saturn, I forgot.
2X. They were trying.
Yeah, they were trying. Yeah. I guess they just never really caught on with like the branding and the characters that Nintendo had were just so much better. Sonic.
I say to this day, Nintendo's IPs, I think, are some of the most important IPs in not just gaming, but in history.
Yeah, it was the IPs that really did it for Nintendo, but the games themselves on Sega were incredible. Just Sonic always felt inferior to Mario. It always felt second rate for some reason.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, they were...
Mario and then you see Sonic just...
I know, I was like, oh god, yeah. But it was so much better if you look at it. I mean, Sonic was incredible. It was so fast.
Mm-hmm. I would almost relate it to like the early days of Disney. Like they were like one of the only companies that had like you could name off all the princesses, and it's like okay, everybody knows them, right? Like they're such important IPs. So that's how I feel like Mario or Nintendo was or Nintendo is. It's like they have all these. Yeah. Like all these plushies like back here.
The Sega IPs.
Yeah. I have some.
Do you?
I still bring them.
Where's your Altered Beast plushie?
Oh,
right?
Oh, I would love that.
I love Altered Beast, by the way. Agree. No, go ahead, Curdy.
All right. Tetris is not the best puzzle game.
Ooh, what a place this is.
Not.
Hey, agree or disagree?
Uh-oh. Vince is thinking twice about SoCal.
Oh, my God, guys. My man.
Tetris is...
All right, Chris, what's better for you?
Dr. Mario.
Oh, so
God. Yeah, this whole podcast is just Dr. Mario.
No, I like more columns. Like... I actually love columns. I love columns. I like a lot of the puzzle games that have like characters involved. It really like cheesy, like chibi stuff or like even like... I know it's not the same. It's a different type of game, but like Puzzle Bobbles or... like the Gem Fighters, all the different stuff like that, the Street Fighter Nut ones. I've always enjoyed like the little side characters with it, which I think Tetris Attack was that way, right? Didn't they have like Yoshi and all them on the side?
There's a Hello Kitty Tetris you might be interested in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, I've always liked that. I've always liked weird
Puyo
characters.
Puyo, stuff like that.
I do like Puyo Puyo as well.
Puyo Puyo's good.
Tetris is still great. I love Tetris. Tetris just not Dr. Mario.
Tetris Gaiden, where you get to select a character.
I've heard that.
It's ridiculous, but yeah. It's fun. I
love
like,
Tetris.
I don't know
what was
do.
That on? Not DS? Game Boy Advance?
No, it's on... It's a disc system.
Famicom. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I've heard it was good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. It's different. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah.
I just love it. It's so... It's simple, but it's not simple. Like, it's not like a bubble. Bubble Bobble's too simple. But
hey,
it's
hey.
I love it, but it's not as good. You got to admit, it's like it takes it more of a challenge to play Tetris. It's like more fun, more to do. Not just color. It's like,
go home and beat Felix the Cat again.
You said Bubble Bobble. You meant Puzzle Bobble.
Puzzle Bobble, sorry. But that being said, I do love Puzzle Bobble.
All right.
Well, these agree or disagree can be anything. So we're going to go on to this one. It's going to be McDonald's has the best French fries.
100%.
Okay. Yes.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up for you.
I love it. And I do not eat fast food anymore, but
so we gotta agree.
If I get French fries, I'm going, I want McDonald's.
I have to agree with that. They're so good. It's something that was better. Dude, you know what? Shake Shack is pretty darn good.
They're building one right here.
Shake Shack is really good French fries.
Here's the thing, though.
Five Guys is good.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's French fries with no toppings and nothing. Just straight up French fries.
Shake Shack's the only other one that I can...
Salt allowed?
Well, salt, yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. Shake Shack is the only other one I can eat with like nothing on it.
Okay.
And they're crinkle fries, which are pretty darn
good. Yo, you know what I like? The Wendy's with the dipping the the fries in the frosting.
Dude, it's pretty good. Lunatic.
No, that is
like,
I love that. Dude, I think that's so good.
It's so good.
If you get a good McDonald's French fry, it's a good bite of killing you slowly, but it's a good bite. It is a good
something about it. It's like they just sprinkle a little crack on it.
And it's the worst because In-N-Outs are like, everyone loves In-N-Out, but I hate the fries.
You know, they're hit or miss for me as well.
Yeah, it's true.
I like them. Totally different than McDonald's. Yeah, not as greasy.
It is a hit or miss.
It's because they're actually real potatoes.
Yeah. Ricky and I used to work In-N-Out together, and how they cut the potatoes is literally they stick a potato in a machine and they pull it down. And a guy one time at our store put his hand in there, pulled it down, and never pulled his hand out.
Oh, God.
And the machine just halfway through, all like tiny little dice into his hand. Was his name Paulo?
What? Was it Paulo or was it, I don't think it was Paulo.
It was one of the Simone guys.
I don't think it was Paulo. I think it was the other guy. I forget his name.
That's messed up. One of the Simone guys. One of the Simone guys. And I just remember him screaming, and they shut down the place and shut down the 7, blood everywhere. And I'm like, wow.
No fries for that whole
thing. No
they came with ketchup.
Throw them in the fryer.
It'll kill it. The fry. Oh, man, when we worked in and out, dude, some people would come in with the fries and be like, I want it to be cooked at 400 degrees for 12 seconds. This and I'm like,
old lady.
Sure. Here's your fry. Have a good one. I'm not doing that, dude.
I do. I'm one of those guys that goes, like, can I get an unsalted fries? And then like they get them fresh right there.
Yeah, let me tell you what. I used to work at Starbucks, and it's the same thing I did to you people. Can I get a decaf coffee? Sure. We only have regular. Who cares? Here you go. Have a good day later. That's the same thing they do for you.
The people that order the unsalted fries are what hold up the line at In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Forever.
It's okay. They have to, you cut it anyway.
It's the fry wells that held
up the line. Holds up
people
the line
want
too.
Them like,
oh, well done. Because I think they told me that one time. They're like, oh, sorry about the wait. Somebody wanted unsalted fries.
Curtis. And I'm
like,
Curtis.
I don't need any more salt. Dang it.
If you don't eat the In-N-Out ones fast enough, they just become one.
Ew.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Horrible. Just cold. Garbage.
It's like the ones at the fair. They like literally start
combining.
But that's
also because they're the most like officially not healthy, but like just a regular, here it is, we'll put them in and pass them on.
Well, thanks for the show.
I know.
Get a frozen bag. Yeah.
Pretty much.
I like that, man. Cool instrument, yeah.
I like that. Ooh, I like this. Awesome.
All right, we're going to go on to our next one. The difference between 30 frames per second and 60 frames per second is not... I can't even read today. It's not noticeable.
The difference between 30 FPS and 60 FPS is not noticeable.
Like to who?
There you go.
Where are we?
Agree or disagree?
Yes. I don't even know.
Is not noticeable?
Yes.
I'm going to say I disagree.
Okay. I'm just...
You guys all agree. They all agree.
Yeah.
I used to think that way.
Yeah.
And then I got a proper TV and a proper console and I could see immediately the 60 frames per second. Like I saw it once I was clocked in and dialed and I was like,
I think your PlayStation.
That's what 60 frames
120.
Per second looks like.
That's
yeah. Yeah, and I went out and bought like the most banger TV you could find and everything. I'm like, I want to see if this looks like, but I used to be the opposite. I was like, who cares? I don't notice. And then I got it and I'm like, it's nice to have money.
Like,
if I go to Walmart right now and I just buy a regular TV from there, is it a 30 frames per second TV?
Normally they're all like, I mean, if you were to buy like a.
Or it'll say it is, but it's not actually like a lot of 4K is not actually 4K. It's like 2K multiplied or something. I don't know. There's a lot of weird innards of it, but I was like, just give me the one that is like the one that's supposed to prove me wrong. But for many years, I was like, I didn't care. At all. I still don't necessarily care, but now I notice it and I'm like, I can see it, especially on like footage.
Like there's like a huge jump from like if you were to go from 60 frames per second, which was the old Xbox, to 120, which is like normally like the new ones,
yeah.
PS5, the Xbox X, It is a huge difference in just clarity and response time.
And you think visually you can notice it.
Oh, yeah.
100%. You think about how strong the naked eye is. It is crazy.
Because I just wonder if that's been used as an excuse for losing battles.
Oh, for sure. It's been
for sure. Yeah, it's like you lose and go, 30 frames per second. That's why I suck.
I always feel bad for some. I always felt bad for some of my friends when they'd like be like, dude, I bought the new Xbox Series X, this and that. Like, I'm all stoked. And I'm like, dude, send me a picture of you playing. And they go home and they're playing on like a 20-inch like TV from 2001. I'm like, you're not gonna notice anything, bro. Yeah.
What's crazy, because like, I mean, like most monitors back in the day were capped at like 60.
Oh, and that's capped.
Yeah, and so like Brixton, who has like a PC monitor, it's probably capped at like 180 to 240.
Sure. Yeah,
and you'll notice that difference.
Oh, yeah, I'll go in and watch him play, and I'm like, dang, this looks good, bro. My kid.
I mean, if you were to play Switch on like an old CRT, you would notice.
It looks kind of cool to be
honest. No, I like it. Just to throw it back to Tetris, like, you're playing on CRTs. Like, right. I don't know what the frames per second is on a CRT.
One.
Is it? Yeah. I don't know. But, like, that's fast reaction time. Has anybody ever, does it play into that at all?
No, I don't think it matters. You know, I know, that's why I don't really care. I mean,
I think
it's
on a Tetris,
like,
it'd almost ruin it if it was like smooth.
Yeah.
I feel like it wouldn't feel right. It almost like blur the lines, I feel like.
It's like, yeah, when movies switched over to like that, you know, I was like, I don't even know, is this real? You could tell.
Oh, doesn't it look like it's like a real like a camera? Like
horror movie person. On that?
Yes. Right?
Absolute worst.
I don't need it.
I remember my first time walking into a Best Buy and like Blu-ray was the big thing and I saw it and it was on like this nice TV. And I remember walking by and it was Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah. And I literally remember walking by before I knew what it was. And I was like, why does that look so bad? I literally thought that, like something that looks weird. Like it doesn't look like a movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's not. It's Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. But movies look great in 30 frames per second, 24, very cinematic. Mm-hmm. But when it's overly, you know, it doesn't look, it looks
too
like
much, too much,
liquid or something. Yeah.
It has to be the right movie, like Tron or something, like different.
Something that's made for that type of spectacle.
Not 3D Avatar, right?
Yes.
You know, like I'll wear the glasses, sure. Yeah.
Oh, got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, we're going to go on one more. It's going to be Atari games are fun.
I agree.
Depends on the context. Yeah.
I just
they like
G-Man
too, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, Atari games are fun.
They are fun.
I'm gonna say it. Me and Ricky agree. The older guys disagree.
Whoa! Fun.
Yeah.
Huh. Go ahead, Vince.
Go ahead, Vince. Defend yourself.
No, thank you. I mean, you know,
you don't like Tetris on the Atari?
No, I wouldn't play. No, I mean, it just doesn't. There's no playability. It's just, you know, kind of like you're complaining about an NES game being hard or difficult, and just somebody randomly grabbing you and not knowing why you're dying. Like in those games, it'd be like, I don't even know. Like, oh, okay, we're playing a football game. All 10 people are moving at the same time, and just, yeah, I don't know. The box art's great, you know, but yeah,
great box art.
The box art in Atari
400. We were looking at those the other day. Those are incredible.
We pulled up Atari 400 boxes. You guys saw them, right? I don't know
if they were crazy. Yeah,
the artwork is insane. I was like, this is like early 80s.
Awesome.
But that's where like the gameplay doesn't match the box art, and you're like, it's so bummed.
None of the gameplay matched any of the.
But it's like you're imagining that's you doing it, right? Yeah, like Mega Man has a gun, right? You know. No,
but, I told my kids that the other day. That was so weird. It was on our TV because I was where I listened to like music soundtracks on TV. Yeah. And my son's like, "Oh, Dad, Mega Man's on the screen." I'm like, "Yeah, do you like the music?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Do you notice anything weird?" He's like, "Not really." And I was like, "He's holding a gun." He's like, "Okay." And I'm like, "He never holds a gun." But I think Black Box, I think we've talked about, is the only ones that ever like represented what the game is, like Black Box series.
USA ones.
Yes. Yes, that's true. Yeah. But as far as Atari, I feel like, I can't do like a lot of the games. Mm-hmm. I like more of like the simple, you know what you're doing. You're just shooting something. I like those. I like all those games they have. I don't know what the games are. Actually, one of the bad ones is. But it's like where something on the top of the screen is shooting things down. You kind of have to catch
Galaga?
Them. What's that's the bad fine. One? Like Ruck'em and Suck'em or something? No, there's a bad one on the Atari that's like a corn game.
There was Custer's. That one is
Custer's.
Something eat.
Yes, beat 'em and eat 'em.
Beat 'em and eat 'em.
Beat 'em and eat 'em. That's a fun game, all but right. I'm not going to say anything else.
Yo, what's the one with the two
what
towers?
What about Vectrex?
That one's fun.
Well, that's Vectrex. You're
trying to beat up your buddy's tower.
Kaboom?
You throw the rock.
Is Vectrex Atari brand? No.
That was all right.
Is it?
What's it?
Vectrex. Aren't Vectrex games Atari?
No, Vectrex, I think, is its own thing.
Yeah. Okay, well, I still stand by the Atari thing.
Yeah.
Kaboom.
For me, like when I just remember being a kid and playing Atari with my dad and being like, I loved it at that point. And then when Nintendo came out, I was like, oh my God, this is so much better. Yeah, I literally was like, I don't ever want to play that.
I still have fun with Atari games.
I hook up Ataris all the time at my shops and I'm like, beep, 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 beep. Okay, get this out of here. I'm just over it. Pitfall was the only acceptable one, maybe.
Robotron?
Because it was more, I felt like Pitfall was better closer Pitfalls. To a Nintendo game style.
Robotron?
Robotron's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, right.
It's Robotron's okay. Cool. That's pretty Atari-ish.
The sound effects?
It is Atari.
No, I know, but it's pretty like that style. Versus Pitfall, I felt was more like a Nintendo game.
Sound effects
game.
Are good in Atari. I like the sound effects. The sound I actually effects think there's something nice about
them. Yeah, I do like that. But no go for me anymore. It just doesn't hold up. I have no desire.
That's okay. I mean, that's the agree or disagree.
Chris will pick Fortnite.
I don't need to play Atari ever. You put us next to each other. Yeah,
you guys shouldn't have sat next to each other. There's some white voodoo or something over there.
All right. On to the next one, it's going to be... I already just stuttered. All right. Pro gamers should not be compared to pro athletes. Agree or disagree?
Oh,
should
man.
Should not be compared?
I don't... Yeah. This is a hard one for me. Especially with Vince here. Pro gamers should not be compared to pro athletes.
Compared, yeah.
Guy. I am... What are we talking? Are we talking financially?
No. We're talking about like the competitiveness compared to each other, right? One's sports, the other one's video games, right?
I'm going to disagree, but I have more to say.
All right.
I'm going to agree.
All right.
Okay, Chris and Ricky, what's your bias towards gamers?
Did you disagree? I did, yeah.
We actually support our community, Chris.
Yeah.
I think both are super skilled. If you're competing in the Tetris, you know, World Championships, that is just an amazing thing that you're doing. There is a little bit of physicalness to it, I guess, because you're moving your finger like this.
Yes, Chris. Not just being mean.
And of course, it is amazing. I'm not downplaying it at all. But if you look at like a football player who's in the gym jacked, you know, doing all this, like I feel like they're two different, completely different animals.
They're too far apart.
They're both very competitive scenes, and there's a competitiveness to it, but they are, one is very physical, one is not. That's what I would say.
But you could say the same about golf.
Right.
Yeah. That is true.
What about people that throw darts? Yeah.
That is true as well.
Have you seen how Babe Ruth was built?
Bowling. Yeah.
That is true. So that is a good argument.
Turn that thumb upside down.
Now, golf, I would say, is a little bit more physical. There is some physicalness.
Yeah,
to golf.
For sure.
But darts, well, do you even consider that an athlete? I would not consider a dart thrower.
That's
an athlete.
That's technically a game.
I mean, is it on the Ocho?
Yeah.
The Ocho. I don't know. Like if you were to compare like dodgeball or something
Tetris
like that.
Tetris has been on the Ocho.
What about ping pong? Is ping pong an athlete?
Yeah.
Ping pong's athletic. Dude, it's a U.S. Olympic sport.
It's pretty athletic.
They're running and diving, bro.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty crazy.
That's an Olympic sport.
We were trained by a Olympic champion.
We were, actually. Yeah, we were trained.
You guys are good at ping pong?
Yeah, we were trained by an Olympic champion, literally.
I must have lost all my skills.
How long was it?
Yeah.
How long were you guys training for that?
4 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys are really good at ping pong? Yeah. Man, I would love to challenge
We were
this.
In for 4 years, yeah.
Are you good at ping pong, too?
Yeah, I love ping pong.
Dang, ping pong table at SoCal.
I feel like you're just like white guy good at ping pong, though. Like, you're just good because you did it in college.
Dude, ping pong at SoCal would be awesome.
And drunk half the time.
We're not talking about, beer pong.
Beer pong, no.
You're supposed to call it table tennis. Like, ping pong enthusiasts hate it, Like, I met Will Shorts. He owns, a ping pong table tennis, like a dojo, 80 tables with the perimeters were roped off. So I got to play him. And he was like, you do not play. And he plays every day. That's his thing.
Yeah.
No matter where he is. So he's played 1500 days in a row when I last talked to him. But he was like, you got to call it table tennis.
It makes it sound more athletic.
Yeah. Ping pong.
You guys ever seen the soccer version of that?
Oh,
gnarly.
Dude, I was watching that the other day. I was like, is this even real? I thought it was photoshopped.
I'm like,
I don't know. They were kicking it, slamming it down, and like, it was 2v2.
How do you slam that until T-ball?
I didn't even look real what they were doing.
I always see cornhole on TV now.
They're
pro cornholers.
That is actually crazy. I actually love it.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
When I said I disagree with Vince, I was more on the level of like, obviously they're completely different things, but I respect anything where someone is competitively, I don't care if you're the world's best at whatever. Like, I more look at it like, as far as what it is, I respect it the same, like the grind to be the best at whatever your sport is. Now, of course, financially, it's a world of difference because one's not going to bring as much, so they're not going to make as much, right? Your worth as much financially is how many people are willing to buy a ticket and watch. You know, the NFL Super Bowl is coming. It's, you know, they're going to bring much more money in because they're getting that many bigger of an audience. But I still respect them all the same as far as like,
yeah, the competitive nature would always be there, I think, too.
Yeah.
That, who knows with the financial aspect, though? Like, it's still in the early, early days of esports, right? Like, maybe.
Oh, yeah, it could change.
Baseball's been around for 100 years. 100 years from now, esports competitors, who knows? Maybe they're the big guys making tons of money.
True. You know? You do not know. It's a whole different world growing up than it was when we were.
Yeah.
You guys just see me rolling up, like, just ready there.
The Blizzard guy.
All right. So, we're going to go on to our next topic. It's going to be arcade places are dying. And I'm only saying this, it's really just to kind of bring us up of like our really just a topic to really bring us up like where we're like our favorite memories of going to arcade.
You mean a topic to age us?
Yes, 100%.
Everybody,
but I went to those two, so don't
you
even.
You made it in your time?
Yes.
Dave and Buster's doesn't count, Curtis.
It has to be nickel.
So, you know, just I wanted to hear some experiences that you guys can remember
back.
I see
rookie start, bro. Me and you.
Oh, dude.
Tell them about our nickel days.
We were pretty good at nickel. I'd be the guy that at Marvel vs. Capcom 2 that liked to beat the other guys. I was like, yeah, because they're all like, there's always like a little tournament going on. I go in, I'm like, dude, I'm actually good. But what we had a lot of fun on, and it's weird, but we loved it, was all these like the DJ games and the drum games.
Super.
That was where we were at for some weird reason. This dude's really good at it. I'm like here, but it's, I can't believe how fun the drum game and the DJ game were.
I loved the drum game and the DJ game. I like legitimately would like feel like I'm a DJ when I'm doing it. Cause I'm like, I am doing some, you know, it's like, it's basically like a Guitar Hero. The things go down, you got to turn the turntable and this, and that. There's times where I'm just like full sets, 3 minutes long of just this rolling and this. And I'm like, little kid rolls up. Mommy, what's that guy doing? I'm like, hey, hold up, boy. You know? I loved and the drum game, man.
Oh, the drum game was so good. I'd be bummed out because it'd be broken like one out of like three times we went, and it would bum out our whole trip. We're just like, dang.
I'm
like,
not gonna lie, there was a couple times where Ricky and I, we're gonna be the biggest dorks on earth, brought our own drumsticks.
Really? I forgot about that.
Because you're an athlete.
Pull them out of my back pocket. Blow them. Just kind of finger twirl them. Like,
drum line in
I
it.
I got next, buddy.
Yeah. You just see Rick start doing the drum line.
That's how you know you're good. And you're holding under, just underhand.
All right.
That's
so.
Did you guys have like a specific place that you went to for arcades?
Him and I together would go to Nickel. That's what we did like in high school time, which was early 2000s, because I graduated in 03. He graduated before 1 year before me.
Nickel, Taco Bell right afterwards.
Talk every about it. Right,
so that Nickel's been around a long time.
This is
an arcade that's out here in California.
And that Taco Bell is probably where I could have set a world record. For what, Ricky?
Dude, this fart, like me and his brother were...
The world's loudest.
Dude, we were sitting on...
It echoed through time.
We were sitting on the table and we're just eating. The whole table starts vibrating.
Still talking about.
Yo, this thing was like gnarly.
The room was like the perfect empty. The table was like the perfect vinyl material. I was wearing like the perfect shorts. I woke up Lazarus again for the second time. It just rippled through time. It was the greatest ever.
It is. It's still rippling. Yeah. Here it is. It's still going.
That's where we went in high school there. But I grew up going to a place called Cameron's Arcade in Santa Ana when I was a kid. Not before I met Ricky, with my brothers. And it was what you see in, you know, Stranger Things and all that stuff, where it's like, it was a straight up, you know, slummy people with cigarettes just grinding away games. And that's where I really feel like I fell in love with like stand up, you know, arcade games. I think I played them probably at the same time when I discovered NES. So it's like I still had the two, but I loved them both equally.
So growing up on the Northeast, like when I grew up with all the arcades around where I lived, I want to say there was one in Milford called Smiles that closed maybe like 7, 8, 9 years ago now. Okay. I want to say they were like the last original one in Connecticut. As far as the Northeast, they kind of like died out after a period of time. Now, of course, the barcades are back. But you guys, it sounds like Nickel survived, right?
So there's a Nickel right now in Garden Grove.
Is that the original?
No.
Mm. Oh, it's not. So they reopened that.
But what's good about this place, and I actually highly recommend going, is they're massive. And everything's like a nickel or 10 cents. So you're playing these games when you go to Disneyland, you know, the giant Pac-Man things, where it's like $7 to play. There's like 10 cents there. I mean, it is pretty much a scene, though. Everybody knows about it. So there's a lot of people there. But I won't say it doesn't have that arcade feel like, I mean, so, you know, it's like a lot of, you know, young kids being crazy, which I guess is. But for us, I like to see, you know, guys our age like slinging quarters and, you know, just talking crap and all that, but
yeah. I'm curious. You kind of grew up in like the arcade capital of the world, pretty much, like Chicago yeah, with yeah. Midway
pinball machines.
Like, is Stern based out of there too? Stern,
Bally's. Yeah.
Bally's.
Oh, Midway, like, was in Chicago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Midway, Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, what was it like growing up in that scene as a kid?
So there was a lot of arcades, but it was like every mall that you would go to would have like an arcade in the mall. You know, and that's not always big, not always giant, you know, varying games, right? Smaller, some, you know, space was probably not cheap in a Chicago mall, I guess. I don't know. They'd have maybe 20 machines, not like this epic arcade, like, you know, that you're talking about. You go.
Okay.
There wasn't these big sprawl. There was a couple, you know, like Galloping Ghosts is there, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Were they around when you were a kid?
I didn't know about them. I'm like from the north side. That's way south side arcade. I still have never been, so, yeah.
To Galloping Ghost.
Yeah, well, I don't live in Chicago, but yeah. So I haven't gone ever, but it's like an hour or more to get there from where I'm at. So I just haven't gone. But you know, there's like, you know, in Portland they have Ground Control, awesome arcade.
I've been there.
You know, yeah. So there wasn't any of that kind of arcades where I was. It's just like everywhere I had a machine, like every like subway or, you know, sub shop.
You and I went there.
They had like three or four.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Every pizza place seemed to.
Yeah, pizza place. Pizza Hut had a bunch.
If there was a Pizza Hut without Simpsons, it was like the world is broken.
Yeah.
Because that is at every Pizza Hut in the 90s.
Or
was.
No, Cruising the USA. Every single one.
I loved Cruising.
Yeah, I used to kill it on Dance Dance Revolution.
You did you really?
No. Oh. I couldn't get it. Dude, I had like two left feet trying to get that thing.
What would you say is, I actually want to hear from everybody, what's your favorite arcade game? But let's stay away from the easy answers of Simpsons and Turtles and the ones that everybody says.
Mm.
What was your favorite arcade game that wasn't the standard that we all talk about in every video of everybody talks about? If you can think back, I'm going to say...
Back then or currently?
Mine
or?
I'm going to say back then, growing up. What was your go-to machine? What was yours, Curtis?
Yeah, mine was Tekken.
Tekken 1?
Tekken 1, yeah. I used to love it, man. I used to love being like Eddie and being able to like do the whole like handstand twist on his legs, and I would just go through every level and just like beat people. I'd feel like a beast. And then like when you would die, you'd be like, I would be looking for change under the arcade.
Oh yeah.
And
I
was doing anything I could, because my mom, she was like, I can't give you any more money. I'm like digging behind the machines. I'm looking for every little coin.
You always got to push the coin return button too, because a lot of times it just pops back out.
You're like, go all the way around.
You got to go around the room.
And since Tekken came out probably, I don't know, maybe like a couple weeks ago, I really love that game still to this day.
Ricky?
I got two. I'll go newer, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, but older, I love Punisher on the arcade.
That's a good one.
It's really fun. Mm-hmm. It's
great. Where'd you play that at?
At my laundromat by my house.
Let's go. That's a good cab to have at a laundromat.
Yeah.
That was a great cab. Like, I won't forget that laundromat because that's where my bike got stolen. That's the only reason I'll never forget it.
Classic. Dang. Ricky's uncles took it.
Yeah,
too busy playing video games.
It was. I came out. I was like, "Did I bring my bike?" And then I see the lock on the ground. I was like, "Dang, someone took
dang,
it."
It was like Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Times have definitely not changed.
Did you do the Pee-wee faint when your bike was gone? Fall over.
My bike was like kicking on the ground.
So good. I would say my favorite arcade machines, besides the common ones, would be Strider.
Oh, took probably a Strider is one of my favorites.
Rastan. I put a ton of time into Rastan.
Sounds good.
And one that I played a lot with my dad, I think it was called Point Blank. And it was one of those like gun games, but it was a little more goofy, a little more fun. It wasn't like, you know, Lethal Enforcers or anything, a little more serious. Time Crisis was a big one for me too. I used to play a ton of Time Crisis. Jurassic Park now. Yeah, they have good games. The big cabs for Walking Dead, Halo, and Jurassic Park. Those are some big, big cabs. The Walking Dead one, I think, is Crossbow.
Oh,
that's
Daryl?
Cool.
Nice.
Actually, today, at the time of us filming this, that way we can date ourselves, I think today is the day, the new Call of Duty, you can play as the Walking Dead characters and play in the Walking Dead maps.
Are we playing tonight?
Really?
Absolutely. Awesome. I know. I was
really?
Like,
that's cool.
I love
that's
that.
That's fun, yeah.
Yeah, those maps. All right, Chris, what about you?
I think Strider was one of mine. I was going to say that. Ooh. I loved it. The other one would be Ghouls and Ghosts. I loved that one. The super one, like Super Ghouls and Ghosts, not Ghosts and Goblins. Because the arcade version of that, which I think they later ported to the Sega, it was the Sega version. It's not the same as the Super NES one.
Mm-hmm.
But I played the heck out of that. And then Bad Dudes, which we talked about earlier. Like, I
Bad
loved
Dudes versus that. Dragon Ninja. That was the name.
Bad Dudes on the arcade was so freaking awesome. Yep. I loved them.
Nice. So I got a couple. I used to, for some reason, I just loved playing the Popeye game. I was a big Popeye fan.
I love the Popeye game.
So I liked playing Popeye.
I'm with you on that.
I don't know if this counts, but or is out of like, you know, in the Turtles Simpsons realm, but Golden Axe, loved playing Golden Axe.
Oh, dude, yeah. I love Golden Axe.
And then Arkanoid, just gotta go Arkanoid with the trackball, you know.
You know what we missed on?
Yeah,
Robotron.
Yeah,
Robotron's amazing.
We had a lot of fun playing Robotron. We had a buddy when we used to go to PRGE,
yeah,
the Portland Expo. We'd have a buddy who was like very big into adamantly trying to become one of the top players.
Yeah,
so we'd go with him. He'd be taught by all these guys, and it was just so fun to like understand, just like Tetris, any game. Mm-hmm. When someone who's a pro comes around, and is like, "Hey, I'm going to kind of teach you how to play this game, like with intent, right? Rather than just button mashing and trying your way." But you're like, oh yeah, right? I see Robotron just wiggling the joysticks, you know?
That is one of the most beautiful looking machines too.
It is.
There's one.
Yeah. The sound effects.
Yeah, Lance and I've been looking at one. A guy wants to sell us one for retro. We have zero space for a machine anywhere. But like, I want to buy that so bad. He sent us pictures and it's like with the blue on the side. It's like, I think he only won $600-700, which is my way for that machine. Yeah. You want it?
Too much to ship.
You know what game I surprisingly don't like on the arcades?
What?
Send hate letters to Curtis's address. Donkey Kong. Not a big Donkey Kong arcade guy.
Donkey Kong 3 is where they hit their pinnacle.
Okay. Right? Yeah, because I play the, again, I enjoy them, but I never got like into them like I wanted to get into them, right? I always wanted to be like, you know, my kids like, you play games, I bet you're a retro gamer, I bet you love Donkey Kong, and I'm like, dang, Donkey Kong Country, you know. But,
you know which two I should have said instead?
What
I should have said? Alien versus Predator.
That's a good one.
But
solid.
Captain Commando. I forgot I at least loved that on the arcade.
Was that an arcade? Yeah. Like
it was trying to remember Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo, it's fine. It's not as great as the arcade.
So good,
the arcade, it's good, but the arcade version is like on a whole new level.
You know what else is good? Arcade Bucky O'Hare.
Oh yeah,
it's a completely different game from the NES game, and it's a fantastic game.
I feel like every pizza place had a Cruisin' USA in it, though.
Cruisin' USA, oh, yeah, Sunset Riders,
guaranteed. Yeah,
Sunset Riders. I remember
part of the license.
I couldn't reach the pedal, so I would be like slamming it down, looking up over the steering wheel.
Like you know what I used to love?
And you would just jam into the walls and stuff.
Just kill a deer.
I hope
for
you
no
guys
reason,
played this because I don't know the name. Something Safari, and it's where you capture animals.
The hunting one where you pull the
that
thing?
Game is so fun. It's a game where you drive. It's actually like it's really fun. You drive a car and it's like bumping around crazy, and you have a lasso that you have to like while you're driving and capture animals.
It was pretty fun. That was Nickel Nickels.
Oh, what?
I've never heard of that one.
It's a fun
one. It's really fun.
I probably got in trouble nowadays.
You know what else is a really fun game? And it's I think it was on Atari too. Is Crystal Castles is a really, really
is that like
game.
A little bear?
Yeah, it's a little bear and you go around.
Yeah, I like that game.
Yeah, and I don't know if I ever played it on Atari, but the arcade is freaking awesome.
You know what I suck at? Q-Bert. Horrible.
I never played it that much.
Yeah.
It's hard. Crystal Castles is similar to that.
Have you guys seen, this is off topic. No, it's not off topic. Have you guys seen Four Christmases?
Yeah,
okay. Do you remember, do you know what video game icon is in that movie?
Oh, Steve Wiebe.
Steve Wiebe, but they never said anything. The guy who was a runner-up to Billy Mitchell.
Well,
during
the same guy directed the movie that did King of Kong.
Got it.
Brought
King
Wiebe
of Kong,
on.
A Fistful of Quarters.
Yeah.
If you've watched that movie, Steve Wiebe is one of the main guys in it.
And the same director as Fistful of Quarters.
And it's funny because I watched it. Not even in the gaming scene. I'm talking, you take the gaming scene, which is a small niche, then the retro gaming scene, smaller niche. Then someone who's going to realize that Steve Wiebe is like a 0.001%.
Stuff too, yeah.
Seriously, when I watched the movie, I remember sitting there and I was in theaters and I was like, oh my gosh, that's Steve Wiebe. He's playing the Wii. He's
just sitting on the ground or something in the movie.
Yeah, his wife there. Yeah, he never said a word.
Yeah.
But it was just such a weird thing for them to throw in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Thought I had to throw that out there.
Dang. Yeah, no, arcades were different. I feel like there's definitely some arcade graveyards that I feel like there's a guy in Santa Ana that has a bunch in his garage, and I see him for sale, and I'm like, man, what if I knew how to like fix one?
That's the guy.
Was it?
Yeah.
The guy you were talking to?
Yeah.
But like the artwork and all the arcade toppers and everything, man, that really, like, really brings you back to like that time.
Marquees are some of the most beautiful things within video and within video game history. Also, like you said, toppers, like the PlayChoice toppers, like the little metal toppers.
I really want a PlayChoice 10. That's one thing I really want.
How many
do you have?
I think I have three of them. Three PlayChoice 10s.
Really?
Some of the rarer games for it too. Yeah. One was just, people bring arcade machines into the shop sometime, and I will buy them.
Here's
somebody brought a PlayChoice 10. Yeah, they brought it in, and I'm
now,
like,
now, does
I'll
the PlayChoice 10 feel like an arcade because it's really just a Nintendo game? But it's still an arcade.
It does feel different because you have a joystick.
It's a different joystick.
Yeah, and it's a very small little joystick that you use to play. So it does feel a lot different. Mm-hmm. And the games that are on there, of course, are like Metroid. They're all the NES games.
Yeah.
man, baseball. Yeah,
I was baseball. Just thinking, I think a good one would have been
1942 is a good one on there.
Rock and Cats is a hard to find one.
Metal Slug. Yeah.
Yeah. Mega Man's are on there. Sorry, we're having our own conversation.
That's okay.
Sidebar.
There was a game before Metal Slug that was by the developers, I think, of Metal Slug, which they took concepts for it and then made it Metal Slug, and that was a hit.
Okay.
But I'll have to look it up, or someone in the comments will let us know and we'll pin it. But there was a game before Metal Slug that looked exactly like Metal Slug, and for some reason it didn't catch on, and then they made Worms? Metal Slug. Oh, I love Worms.
So good.
Worms is a great game.
We're doing a Worms tournament at SoCal this year.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a guy, Ben is his name.
Ben.
Yeah, and Ben Padden, I believe, and he's going to be running a Worms tournament.
All right. Which one? Right, there we go.
I think it's Worms Armageddon.
Dude. Okay, I love...
It's one of my favorite games, dude.
Wow. The first of many. I love that game, dude. We used to play the heck out of it.
I love it. Like, when you shoot them, like...
Oh, yeah.
I think he's the only one that runs a worm tournament anywhere. But he was like, he loved the game, and there's a big following. Sounds like you're a fan of the game.
I mean, it's a cool game. Yeah.
We in high school, me and some of my buddies, we would gamble, like, money... You know, but we would do it for gummy worms. That was our thing. Everyone being a pack of gummy worms, and then we'd like, all right, five worms, and the guy would win the big prize.
Dang, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Gummy worms.
Nothing like a handful of handled gummy worms
by everyone out there. Voice, a bunch of gamer hands, Dorito fuel on it too.
Yeah. But, yeah. Oh, man.
Last question. No, sorry, good. I have to. Is Cruisin' USA the most fun arcade racing game?
Ahead of its time.
Yeah.
You can murder deers, right? You know, that's awesome, right? You know.
We're gonna crash!
They took that out of the 64 version, right, when it came out.
I don't remember.
They had Rush. I think
the San Francisco Rush 2049?
And that was arcade, though.
Something, yeah, that was arcade.
Is it 2049?
I do love
that. That one's pretty good.
Like, that's great. Yeah.
It's not racing then.
What?
I was going to say Hydro Thunder because I thought it was
Hydro Thunder was great, and it would blow air on you.
As you're going.
Yeah. I mean, you can't turn around in Cruisin' USA.
Guys, I just forgot one of my favorite ones. I'm sorry. I have to say it. Top Skater.
One of my favorite games
in the world to play.
Oh, and I just forgot my actual favorite too. Spy Hunter is incredible.
Really?
Yeah. That game
I ever played the arcade version.
It's really hard to find.
And is it sit-down?
No, there was a sit down and there was a stand up.
Okay, but you like
a gas pedal in it?
No. Yeah, it has a gas pedal and it had the steering wheel.
Oh, like the super off road Baja games where there's four of them and you just kind of pedal.
It looks just like Spy Hunter on the NES version, but it was a little bit crisper and the noises and the gameplay of it are incredible. It's like a $3,000 machine.
Really?
That's a really hard to find one.
Wow.
Yeah, I got one of mine too. Burger Time. That's where it's at.
Ooh, I like
Burger Time's good. I had a Burger Time for a while.
I like going up to the top in Burger Time, and then you get up to the top and you just, you know, do the salt pepper up, and I pretend like I'm LeBron James at the start of a basketball game. You know?
You'd start crying?
You just throw and then I flop and die, right? Yeah.
Tim's going to be mad. The NBA Jam.
NBA Jam.
I mean, that's in the gimmies, you know?
Yeah, that's the obvious, right? Yeah. That's the low hanging fruit. We know.
All right. So, guys, we're going to go on to an interesting topic. It's going to be different than most of what we've ever really talked about. It's going to be
politics.
All right. Money and licensing. Out the window, like, don't even worry about it. The question is what cartoons or comics or mashups do you think that have the potential for fighting games?
And I think this got spawned because Mikey, our buddy, posted what if this was a real game post, and it was all the Disney like princesses just brutally murdering.
It was like poo fighting like a Disney princess.
Very cool.
So like, I mean, like, if you think about it, like, what kind of would be your iconic mashup? Because like, I mean, for me, for an example, it'd be like Kirby fighting like a Transformer. Like, how awesome would that be?
That would be pretty cool.
Wait, Kirby fighting a I'm gonna try to place this into my head how this would who would win though. Kirby must be OP though, because of the new Smash Ultimate, when they relaunched the game, only one person made it in the entire roster of Nintendo characters. Every person, Samus, Ganondorf, Link, every person that's ever been in Smash, in their main cutscene from Nintendo, Kirby was the only one able to escape the big explosion fast enough. And I was like, oh, that was so interesting that Nintendo made Kirby like the guy, like the king of all. And I was like, what would, I don't know what the I'm sure Nintendo people who are smarter than me are going to be like, well, that's because Kirby is...
Because Kirby saved Nintendo.
Lighter than air, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
And,
but, yeah.
we've seen like mashup games like Street Fighter and Capcom and Marvel Nemesis and all those type of things. But like, think about like your cartoon fighting, right? Like one of your favorite cartoons fighting another one of those.
Okay, Ricky's ready. Ricky's ready.
All right, so Street Sharks versus Biker Mice from Mars, I think would be pretty sick.
Wow.
I think that'd be amazing.
Dude, I can only imagine that just one of the Street Sharks bumped up, dude.
Slamming good. That's a good one.
Yeah. Now, I didn't even have that one written down.
But now you have to pick who would you want to win?
Ooh.
Biker Mice from Mars.
Dang, Street Sharks are pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Good call.
That's a good... I just found out that the Biker Mice from Mars Super Nintendo game is worth good money, by the way. I don't know.
Oh, is it?
Random side thought. I bought one in a lot, and I got it, and I was pricing it. And I was like, ooh, okay.
$85 game. Oh, $85.
Something like
that. With NES games lately, he's just been like, oh, what is this? What is
this? I know.
He's like, how much do I have to pay now?
I'd probably want Biker Mice to win, too, just because they're a little less loved. Right? Street Sharks, I feel like they're both pretty cult following-ish type of shows, but I feel like I always root for the lesser popular.
You might as well throw Battle Beasts in there, too.
True.
Know? Yeah. Dude,
Battle Beasts. Mm. All right, wait, I wrote one down earlier. What I thought would be fun is a big thing when you think about Saturday morning cartoons, there's always like, well, which kid were you? Were you a Nick kid? Were you a Fox Kids? Were you a Cartoon Network? Were you whatever it is?
Oh, yeah.
So I thought it'd be cool to do like Fox. I wrote down in mine Fox Kids versus Cartoon Network, like in 90s, where you're taking those and you can select your player. And it's all the Fox Kids shows, the Eek the Cat, the Bobby's World, you know, versus all the Cartoon Network stuff. And I was like,
Versus Rugrats and all
like
that?
Captain Planet versus Johnny Bravo.
Cartoon Network? That's Cartoon Network. That's Nickelodeon.
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 I was a Fox Kids kid. That was my thing. Okay. I love when I watched a whole documentary about Fox Kids the other day, and it was like crazy how powerful nostalgia was during it. Every theme, every voice acting that came in that I forgot about, I was just like, oh my, like it hit me like a ton of bricks, just like remembering every single one of them. Deke, remember Deke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deke Entertainment had some of my favorite shows as well. It was just, it does it for me. But yeah, I would like the segment of those companies to be like a team. I think that'd be great.
There you go. Yeah.
Could you imagine like a Mickey Mouse fighting a Mario?
The two leaders.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Although, isn't Mickey now is, or Steamboat Willie is public access now? Anybody can use him.
100 years. Oh, no way. Like
or even like a Naruto character just fighting around, like Dragon Ball Z characters.
I'm sure that probably exists somewhere. It's hard because a lot of the stuff felt like dream matches, right? Like when Smash first came out, it's like these are dream.
Yeah.
Like there's no way people would be like, oh, the next character should be this guy. And they're like, dude, they can't do that.
Impossible.
And then all of a sudden Nintendo started dropping all these names where people are like, what? He's fighting Terry from whatever, from Neo Geo. And they're dropping people from every different franchise from different companies. So it's almost like that became reality. And I feel like changed. I was one of those guys that watched all the announcements always for what Smash was announcing. So that world is in my brain.
Chris,
we're calling that a fighting game, Smash?
we're calling Dr. Mario a good game. Vince gets mad every time I say it.
I think I would love to see Thundercats versus He-Man. Those that are like my sick. Childhood.
Good, yeah. When I need to now,
gosh, that'd be sick.
Now, Chris, pitch meeting. I'm a CEO right now. Christopher, come in my office. I heard that you wanted to pitch. What was it?
Thundercats versus He-Man.
Okay, what style of graphics are you thinking, sir?
Ooh, kind of like Marvel versus Capcom style.
2D.
No, wait, I'll take it back.
The new Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite?
I'm going to do Mortal Kombat. We're going bloody on this thing.
So you want it to be like those pre-rendered images that look almost CGI?
No, actually, that wouldn't work. It would have to be Marvel versus Capcom 2D. Style. Yeah. Marvel versus Capcom style.
Okay.
Yeah. And just picture Lionel versus He-Man.
Lionel versus He-Man.
Yep. That's the epic.
Who do you want
bet.
To win? We had to ask.
Ooh, man. Ooh. I mean,
I'd probably go Lionel.
I think I'd have to go He-Man. Master and they would, those universe. Two have just such epic, like, they could have their taglines, like, I have the power. And like, when they come out, it could have like the cutscenes almost like Mortal Kombat when they come out.
I've been watching a lot of Thundercats lately, and I never really dove into it much. I always forget in the first episode they were naked, too.
Apparently, there's a new. Were they really?
Yeah, they're all naked in the first episode. I was like, actually, like, because I like, son, come check out 70s media. He came in, I was like, go out the other room. What's happening? My wife's like, what are you watching? I'm like, I thought I was watching Thundercat.
There's apparently our artist for our t-shirts, Tom Ryan, was he drew a new cover for Thundercats. Apparently, he showed it to me. So he has like a variant cover. They redid it. Like Thundercats asked him to do that, whoever owns that franchise.
They asked them.
They asked him to do that. So it's a legit comic. And then he was telling me that they apparently, well, I hope I'm not saying anything that's not supposed to be said, but there's supposed to be a
Thundercats. I gotta go.
a new Thundercats series coming out, similar to how they did, I guess, the He-Man series.
The Voltron and the He-Man?
Which I think is the animated new one that they came out. There's supposed to be a new Thundercats coming out.
And you guys are hearing it first from Pixel.
Better text your friend after.
But that would be awesome because the He-Man one was sick. It was good. So
it's pretty good.
Did you ever say who you wanted to win?
He-Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dude, there could be so many different possibilities. Like, I think about like Tony the Tiger fighting like a Spider-Man.
That would be awesome.
All the cereal mascots.
And they have the same.
The fast food mascots.
Oh, yeah. Burger King versus Ronald McDonald.
That would be so funny.
Grimace just pounding.
Yonoid. Yonoid.
Okay, that's a really good one.
I'm trying to wrap.
I feel like that should exist. If it doesn't,
that is awesome.
The spot.
Would you get the Wendy chick is in there?
And you can bring in the cereal. Wendy's chick.
I wanted my beef.
Yo, that's actually
square ninja patties.
Yeah, yeah. There's a YouTube channel called Raka Raka.
Yeah.
And actually, I highly recommend watching some of their older stuff. They're like really good cinema guys. That's what they've been known for on YouTube. And they have a whole series about Ronald McDonald when he fights people. But it's like R-rated to the core. like sexual stuff, hardcore brutality, tons of blood. Actually, to the fact that they were so good at what they did, they got picked up by Hollywood recently and made a horror movie. Because they were so good at what they did.
Wow.
It's like something about the hand. They talk to a hand and the hand grabs them and they have visions or something. I don't know, but... Yeah, that would be
perfect.
Awesome.
It would have to be really bloody, that game. Chopping limbs off and like that
like
would be incredible.
Like a celebrity death match style.
They cook each other up.
They cook each other. Like that's the finishing move. Yeah. Put them like through the Burger King fryolator or something.
The In-N-Out.
Do they even have a mascot?
No.
Like a tree or something?
No, a tree. Pretty much.
I mean, bro, imagine Big Boy.
Bob's Big Boy.
Bob's Big Boy.
Oh, yeah, he'd be in it.
Dude, yo.
These would be crazy matchups.
I liked what you said about cereal because who is it?
We could be mascots.
Crunch.
I would pick Captain Crunch.
For cereal mascots.
Smacks, the frog.
Kellogg's
Who are some of the big other ones? Okay, there's the Kellogg's Cock.
Tony the Tiger.
Who?
The Applejacks guy. The cinnamon stick.
The Cinnamon Toast Crunch guy.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch guy.
The Bumblebee from Honey Nut Cheerios. You know?
The
Captain Crunch.
I would love to see the Bumblebee get his butt kicked for some reason.
Bob and Weave, you know?
Dude, there would be so many different type of mascots. I think like one game that does it well, like by incorporating like different characters into the game, is Mortal Kombat. When they incorporated those horror characters, like they did like Leatherface, they did I think
Jason, Freddy,
and they did it pretty good. So, but I mean, like, who would be like another crazy mashup to fight like one of these different characters?
Well, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I like that like Call of Duty brought in, and I love or hate it, I know it's all DLC and downloads, and they're just nickel and diming you for microtransactions. But you know, them adding Rick Grimes, I mean, it's like, shoot, I would give you $10, let me play as Rick Grimes and play a couple Walking Dead maps. Like, I'm not opposed to that.
Yeah.
And did you know who else they have in the game? I don't know if you know this. Skeletor. You can be Skeletor.
I think my son told me that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He told me they had him in there.
First skin I bought. I was like, all right, they sold me. Although I looked so dumb. I like watched it back and I could see myself. I'm like, I look so stupid.
And that's in Call of Duty.
In Call of Duty, the new one.
And he holds a gun, obviously. Yeah.
Yes.
That's crazy.
They're easy to spot.
He was the only He-Man? Was he the only He-Man character?
Yes.
Just Skeletor.
Wow. Skeletor's in there. Yeah. He's actually cool. Like his skin colors are cool and all that stuff. He was like one of the first ones when it came out.
You know, one of the big funny things Gabo, our buddy Gabo, if you don't know him from the show, Pixel Game Squad, our other channel, he hates Fortnite. Like that's his thing. Like he hates it. And what makes him laugh is every time Fortnite brings on people, it's like his favorite series. And he gets so mad. He's like, he'll like send us like just like messages of Fortnite announces, you know, Ryu and Ken, and he's just like, every text he's just pissed. And then it was like Master Chief, and he's like, my other favorite. Then it was like Walking Dead, and he's like, that's my other favorite. But like, he's just like, poor guy. But I feel like that's an interesting thing in the gaming sphere. It's like, at what point do we accept it as like, okay, it's micro, they're just trying to nickel and dime us, versus us feeling like fan service, right? Because there's a huge difference. Like, is it fan service?
I don't know. I mean, Fortnite does play to their community very well, right? So it's like they have two different styles. They didn't bring back their classic style, they wouldn't have brought a huge audience back. You know what I mean? Like the no build and all that stuff, because you got those kids that are like hyper nerds that can build 1,000 things in a second, right?
I'm anti-build guy there. I just don't want
to
play.
I couldn't build.
I'm agreeing
with
Gabo.
Gabo, don't worry about
it. They do constant updating to their game. And unlike Call of Duty...
Now, are they charging for it?
Not for the updates, no. But the microtransactions are just skins. They're not obviously going to add to your game. But if you really want to look cool, like as in Venom or something like that, or Spider-Man or Thor, you know, you might have to spend a little bit of money. But every game does that. You know what I mean?
Now...
Fortnite did play the Tetris ESPN special within the game in whatever that area is on their
screen.
Did they
really? Yeah. They did that.
They hit us up.
So you love Fortnite?
Big fan, yeah. I just don't like the building. I don't like the building.
It's very difficult.
I'm just like, I don't even want to learn how to do that. Have you tried the
building? I don't like it. I literally got stuck. I started building up and I got stuck and everyone was shooting me. I was like, nowhere to go. All right, I'm out.
Yeah. All right, back in the day, it wasn't as bad until like these little cracked 14-year-olds got like really good.
It's fun to watch for like a second. I don't even know what's happening.
This is for us back in the day, I mean, right? Everyone.
Shoot a person or you don't shoot a person.
Classic old gamer talk, but like back in our day, you had to earn it. That's all. That was the option.
Yeah, but like that's why you still enjoy Call of Duty, because it kind of stays kind of the basics.
Yeah.
Yes, they do have weapon imbalancing in some aspects, right?
Yeah,
and they take forever to update that, but it still feels like the same Call of Duty you're still playing. A little bit faster pace than back in the day.
I like it.
But I love it, right?
I currently like Call of Duty again. It's been a long time since I've said that, but I love it.
The only thing that sucks is they didn't update the maps, right? So now you're playing old maps, but I kind of enjoy the old maps more than I've liked any of the new maps.
My buddy, Caden, a guy who helps us he's 15, he helps us ship our whatnot stuff. He sent me a picture yesterday. He was playing a round of Domination with a hatchet only, and he got 99 kills.
Wow.
I was like, my gosh, child.
That brings me back to like when you can like run with a Magnum and you'd have that little knife with it, and you just go knife person.
Probably the days
person.
Of being in a Call of Duty chat room in the 2000s.
Oh, it's the new... That was crazy.
You were your mom and...
That's where steel mines were made.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
True.
And one of these funnier like matchups that I was thinking, like imagine like it being like a Star Wars fighting like one of your favorite cartoons.
Oh, Star Wars versus Star Trek, bro.
Like a franchise versus franchise, huh?
And they did have a few Star Wars fighting games. Or was it just one? Jedi
did I write
Battles?
Another one down?
But
was
I mean, like
Jedi Battles? Was that the only one?
I think they might have had. I don't know if it was like anything like SNK Capcom type vibe with a fighting style, right? Do you think?
I never even really played that. Do you ever play that, Rick?
Which one?
The Star Wars Jedi Battles one on PS1? Anybody ever played
that?
No. Nobody played it.
Nope.
I don't even know who the characters that's in it. Well, that was a fighting game. It was Star Wars Jedi Battles. It was like a fighting...
Fighting game?
I'm pretty sure it was, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it.
Look it up. You're king of looking it up. I think it was.
I put Killer Instinct versus Powerpuff Girls in my notes. I don't know where that came from, but that was in my notes.
Dude, that's actually kind of cool, though. Could you imagine just like Cartoon Network characters, like a Johnny Bravo fighting like a Ren and Stimpy?
Oh, yeah.
It'd be fun.
Did they ever do a Killer Instinct versus Mortal Kombat?
No crossover.
Have they done Marvel versus DC?
I think so. I think they have.
Well, they had the Mortal... What was the DC fighting game? Injustice.
That was DC versus...
Yeah, Marvel. Yeah.
Mortal Kombat. No.
I think it's Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
This reminds me of that Celebrity Deathmatch show, the Claymation show.
Dude.
They probably did all these things.
I'm going to see if there's a Marvel versus DC video game. I feel like...
Celebrity Deathmatch just reminds me so much of Robot Chicken. It's spot on with it. Just like the comedy of it.
What? I don't know. Marvel versus DC Clash of Heroes, released in 2013.
Yeah, I think it was an Xbox 360 game, no?
Really? That's a thing? Wow. Yeah. Who would you vote for, Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Yeah, you go Marvel. Yeah, yeah.
Marvel all day. Yeah.
I pick DC.
I hate DC. You're a DC guy?
I like it way better.
Oh, my God.
They have Batman. DC. There's nobody cooler than Batman.
But you guys also have. They also have Superman. That's
they
terrible.
Also have Aquaman.
Oh, I know. But my Batman makes up for everybody.
Yeah. We got Tony
Batman
Stark.
Is awesome. I will give you Batman.
Tony Stark. I don't like Tony Stark. All right, who do I like in Marvel? Let me think.
Hulk, dude.
I hate Hulk. Are I think he's so dumb. Me?
You got Gambit. You got Wolverine.
Gambit's
Magneto.
Cool. Gambit's yeah.
Every
cool
X-Men Ghost character.
Rider. Yeah, X-Men. There you go.
It's thank
you.
Best.
But yes. You know what? But I also feel like Ghost Rider is a very DC. I always like what I always liked about DC is the dark about them. I was
well,
like
not there though.
Dark. I know that's what I mean.
Well, the comics are like Marvel comics more dark. And then the show,
the movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you,
yeah. I think the movies. So I'm not a superhero guy. I don't know. I mean, you
not,
don't
not
know me.
Totally no.
I'm not a superhero guy at all. I actually don't like superhero movies.
Just Batman. Yeah.
But I like it when it's very when it's more. I don't like them goofy. Uh-huh. I like my superheroes to just be like, I'm gonna kill all of you, and that's it. All right. Everything's revenge. That's what I want.
But
that's
Batman doesn't kill anybody.
Marvel, yeah, Marvel. Batman is different. Batman.
So who's the cool Marvel people that I would consider cool? Like Batman to me is. Cool.
Wolverine.
He's cool. But that's super okay. So cool. X-Men. I think the X-Men are cool. I
Ghost Rider.
Okay.
Silver Surfer.
Silver
Surfer is pretty good.
He's not, I like
I wouldn't
I like
call
the game.
Cool. He's
I like
bad.
It. I like the game, but I don't like Silver Surfer. I hate the, what's it, the Fab Four Fantastic
yeah,
Four?
Yeah, Fantastic Four.
No, they were
lame. So we just excluding like X-Men
Blade,
out of it then.
Blade is super cool. He's cool.
Blade is cool. Blade. Okay.
I mean, what about
awesome.
Spider-Man?
Spider-Man. I like Spider-Man.
Too cheesy for me.
Yeah, kind of corny.
What?
He's a little corny.
Oh,
it's corny for me.
That hurts me a little bit.
I like it, but it's corny.
Spider-Man is pretty much the Batman because neither one of them kill anybody. They're just, they catch the guys. You never see Batman kill anyone. You never see Spider-Man kill anyone.
Man, I just need like a list of characters in front of me. I could just literally.
Who is the best Batman?
Michael Keaton.
Christian Bale. Yeah. No way.
I do like Christian Bale a lot as Batman. I really do.
But you just like the voice.
No, we're going to end it on that one.
No, finish the whole entire segment saying goodbye in that voice. And don't stop. No, you have to.
Rachel. Please subscribe to Pixel Podcast, Rachel.
Keep going.
No, I'm gonna,
keep going.
I'm going to need water. Anyway, guys.
I just drooled, dude. What the frick?
SoCal Gaming Expo is June 8th and June 9th. Rachel, please, the tickets will be linked in the description below, and Tetris World Championship will be the
And remember, if you take away anything, Dr. Mario sucks.
Metal Gear is the worst game.
We're going to get brutalized.
Yeah, and thanks, Vince, for being here, man. And
thanks for having
appreciate
me.
You, man.
Thank you, Vince.
I felt like Hulk Hogan more than anything.
Oh, thank you, brother.
Brother.
Yes.